255 at Illinois 157. Road construction has various lanes closed to remove and replace expansion joints over the Prairie du Mont diversion channel. Two lanes will remain open at all times. I-44 at mile marker 203 and 214 through Cuba, Missouri. That traffic is reduced down to one lane in both directions. And also Route 367 over Moline Creek is closed until August to repair a bridge. The southbound detour is west on the 270 to Newhalls Ferry and then goes south. The northbound detour is to go north on Halls Ferry to 270 and go east. Also in both directions, Tesson Ferry between 67, which is Lindbergh, and Gravois is closed due to paving construction. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by GM OnStar. When the unexpected happens, OnStar gives you and your family the safety and security you deserve just to push you the button, and OnStar advisors are ready to help. OnStar by GM. To learn more, visit OnStar.com for more details. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Today, breezy, a chance of rain this morning and rain this afternoon. Isolated thunderstorms in the afternoon. The high should be around 80 this evening. Breezy, occasional rain with a low around 70. For Tuesday, breezy, occasional rain with a high in the upper 70s. Tuesday evening, showers are likely with a low in the upper 60s. The chance of rain on Tuesday evening is 70%. And then on Wednesday, look for showers to continue with a high around 80. The chance of showers on Wednesday is also 70%. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under cloudy conditions, we have 77 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting clouds and 73 degrees. It's time now for the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Summer has officially begun, and warmer weather can mean danger for your cats and dogs. The ASPCA has issued a pet safety advisory urging pet owners to protect their companion animals during the sweltering summer days. The organization offers these guidelines as a way to keep pets safe when the temperatures begin to rise. Keep your dog or cat well-groomed, as a clean coat can help to prevent summer skin problems. Never take an animal to the beach unless you can provide a shaded spot and plenty of fresh water for him or her to drink. Never leave your pet standing on hot asphalt. Bring your companion animal to the vet for a spring or early summer checkup, including a test for heartworm, if your dog is not on year-round preventive medication. And to prevent escape or accidental falls, make sure all windows in your home are properly screened. The ASPCA has provided national leadership in humane education for over a century and has over 1 million supporters today. Visit ASPCA.org for more information.
Tuesday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. United Airlines wants to slash legacy costs by cutting retirees' payments by up to half. A bill is in Congress that would place a six-month freeze on corporations dumping their pension plans on the government. If United gets away with this idea, you can be sure other companies will try it too. How could United be allowed to underfund its pension for years and then have nothing left for the workers? An examination of this issue with Beth Almeida, economist with the International Association of Machinists, Tuesday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
I heard about this company dumping toxins in local rivers, and I called their executives to say stop, but I never got through to anyone except secretary after secretary. In the meantime, the rivers are being destroyed, birds and fish are dying, and the local kids are getting sick with cancer. So I organized a huge protest, and we actually got the company shut down. And everyone starts celebrating until we realize that half the town's now unemployed. The welfare offices can barely handle the overload. People are being kicked out of their homes. And to top it all off, the rivers are still contaminated. The birds and fish are still dying. And most of the kids with cancer are twice as sick because they can't get the health care they need since their parents lost the health insurance they had when they worked for the company that dumped all the toxins in the first place.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
We all know by now never to drink and drive. We know to buckle up for safety, and we know to protect our children by using proper car seats. But did you know that basic car maintenance is just as important in avoiding serious accidents? Simple steps like changing your oil and brake fluid, keeping your car full of antifreeze and coolant, checking the belts and gaskets, and rotating your tires can keep you and your family and other drivers safer while keeping your car more fuel efficient, thus protecting the environment. That's why the Car Care Council is urging everyone to take an active interest in routine maintenance. Read your owner's manual, talk to a qualified service technician, and use an online resource. For more information on how to keep your car running safely, visit vehiclemanager.com. Take care of your car. It will save you money, and it will protect you and your family and other drivers. This has been a public service message from the Car Care Council.
I have three children, and I've been raising my 16-year-old sister.
Mary Gallagher and her family shared a two-bedroom apartment with eight people. Now Habitat for Humanity is helping her build a simple, decent, affordable home of her own.
When we first found out that we were getting a Habitat home, it was like a dream. I kept saying, don't anybody wake me up.
Not only is Mary helping build her own home, she'll buy it with a no-profit, zero-interest mortgage to keep it affordable.
Habitat came out and built my home. And when Mary started building her house, I wanted to come out and give a hand.
We're not just building Mary's house, we're building a neighborhood.
There's several more to be built this year, and I look forward to working on each of their houses and seeing the joy of their face when they open the door to their brighter future.
Habitat for Humanity. Building homes, changing lives. Support the work in your community. Visit habitat.org.
I feel very blessed. God has answered all of my prayers. We are home.
Next, on Mondays at 9, the hundreds of bodies discovered in Iraq over the past 6 months may be the work of a secret death squad brigade composed of Iraqi soldiers trained in such tactics by the American military. This was the same tactic used by the Contras in El Salvador during the insurrection there while the Reagan administration was in power. Is there a connection between the two? What type of democracy are we exporting? A look at this story with Christy Pardue, Communications Director for School of the Americas Watch, on the next edition of Mondays at 9. Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can I listen? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can I listen?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very bad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember that. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound. That's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, the
disease and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want, if you wish, if you need, if you gotta have my toll-free long-distance number, no problem. Oh, you can do that. 1-877-920-WGNU. We have a spirited morning ahead of us. A spirited morning ahead of us. In the next hour, we are going to be joined on a breaking story by our comptroller, Darlene Green. I'm going to talk a little bit about what she's coming on in a few minutes. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, we are going to be talking about all of these. I'm just struck with the Aruba girl, jet planes looking for her. There's a whole team of divers looking for her. The world has stopped on a dime to look for this blonde-haired 18-year-old girl that was allowed to go to Aruba and party with her friends. So, you know, the world has stopped on a dime on this, and we're going to talk about who have we missed? Who's not being looked for? You know, who are we ignoring in our pursuit of the missingness of this blonde, blue-eyed, 18-year-old girl partying in Aruba? I don't know how many jets we used to look for Osama. I don't know how many jets we used, underwater divers we've used to, we didn't find Saddam Hussein. Somebody else told us where he was. I mean, it's amazing the resources that are going on to look for this little girl. So we're going to be talking to two people. One, a woman, a writer. In fact, you can find her story in Essence magazine this month, about the missing black women, the missing white men, the missing non-blonde white women. We're going to be talking about that. And the missing older people, we're going to be talking about that in the 8 o'clock hour. We're also going to be, in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking about death squads in Iraq. There's a whole lot of stuff to talk about, folks. A whole lot of stuff to talk about. And it's going to be a very full morning this morning. And I also want to get back to what we're going to be talking about with Darlene Green. Oh, man. Man. Much doings on in our Board of Aldermen. I'm just kind of it's tiresome to live in St. Louis and to see some of the same stuff happen over and over and over again. We have an alderman, Jeffrey Boyd, that has introduced, who introduced this incredible piece of legislation, basically, fundamentally, that would take away powers from Darlene Green. How you do that? How you do that? This is a constitutional change, a charter change, as it were, in the city of St. Louis. A charter change. Charter change. Introduced by Jeffrey Boyd, who is in the midst of a recall election, a recall called petition drive. You know, it's almost like, I feel like, you know, we're on this recall train, all aboard the recall train. We have Jeffrey Boyd in the recall crosshairs. We have Tom Bauer in the recall crosshairs. We have Peggy Ryan, who was taken, who got on board the recall train because they took her out. There's mumblings and murmurings about a Freeman Bosley recall. There's mumblings and murmurings about an April Ford Griffith recall. All there, choo-choo, woo-woo, hop aboard the recall train. That's what we have going on in the city of St. Louis. And in the midst of all of this, and there's a hardcore recall effort going on with regard to Jeffrey Boyd. And in the midst of this, he introduces a piece of legislation that would take away power from Darlene Green. Does that tell you how tough he's rolling with the people that are backing him? Remember, he was missing in action on Irene Smith. No, he wasn't missing in action. He picked a side, and it was Francis Slay. Missing in action on the school board. No, he wasn't missing in action. He picked side with Francis Slay. So we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about this with the comptroller in the next hour, because I really want y'all to hear he's the only one that introduced this legislation. Nobody asked for this except for him. So we're going to be talking about that in the 7 o'clock hour. Stay tuned. Choo-choo, woo-woo, all aboard the recall train. Huh. We got some stuff to talk about, folks. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget, you can get to my website at lizbrown.com. That's LIZZBROWN.com. You can email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. I got an email from Finland over the weekend. And an email from Tennessee, folks that are checking out the show, digging the show, all across the world, from Finland, from the Appalachian Mountains in Tennessee, two people that identify themselves as, first they said, we really love your show, we just want to tell you how much we love your show. Now the shocking part, we're two middle-aged white people. So folks are digging the show all over the world, and you can dig it. If you missed a couple of hours, get on over to whiterosesociety.org. Check out the hours that you may not have been able to catch during the week. And it's going to be an amazing week. Buckle your seatbelts. We have a whole lot of incredible stories that are coming out this week. We have some incredible guests, some incredible stories. Robert Greenwald, you know him, a producer, director. He's going to be on the show this week. We're going to have Tom Bonifat. He is going to be on the show to talk about he's the head person on the impeachment of George W. Bush with the Downing Street memos. We're going to have him on this week, and also some other surprises. So it's going to be an incredible week. You're on the wake-up call.
Hi, Liz. It's the unicycle fella.
Yes.
Haven't spoke to you in a while. Oh. I don't get a chance. A couple of tragedies in the news. The woman that's missing, it is a tragedy. Mm-hmm. However, I heard a couple national broadcasters mention that she was the All-American girl.
Isn't that something?
And you know...
Isn't that something?
That is something. It's like, what girl, especially a child, even though she was 18, but let's just say, what child isn't
the All-American
child?
That's right. That's
and,
right.
Even if it was a woman of 35, I mean... But they go on to mention that she had the blonde hair and the blue eyes.
Every story that I've read just about has mentioned her blonde hair and blue eyes.
We expect that, but it's just so out of place. And I was talking to a black woman who works with me of similar age as her, and she said, you know, I don't feel bad about bringing stuff like this up at all. And she agreed with me. She goes, well, if it was me, they would have stopped looking a long time ago.
And that's what we're going to be talking about in the 8 o'clock hour. Sure. I have an author and two people to talk just about that.
The other thing that's similar, in a different sort of way, another tragedy where someone killed a Kirkwood police officer.
Mm-hmm.
And you shouldn't, out of revenge, if it's not self-defense, of course you shouldn't kill anyone. However, the pre-story to that, apparently, this man's accused, his little brother, I guess, of 12 or
That's
so.
That's right,
was,
12 years old.
Yeah, he had a heart.
Had a heart condition.
Ailment. And then apparently, judging from what I've read, the police came to the door very slowly when the grandmother was running out saying something was wrong, and they probably were negligent. Do you know much about giving this other boy help? They didn't even check his pulse.
I've heard two different stories. I've heard one story where the cop that was killed actually shook the little boy.
Yeah.
And he ran into the house and he fell down dead. And then I've heard a story that he was having a heart attack in front of him and that they were more interested in arresting the brother than tending to the child. And I don't tend to believe that one simply because if they were arresting the 19-year-old that's been arrested for him, then he wouldn't have come back. He wouldn't have been back there 90 minutes later. And then,
yeah.
You know, so I'm not inclined to go with that story. And I've also heard a story, and the grandfather has been on television this morning and has said that the 19-year-old is being beaten savagely in jail right now.
Well,
so I wouldn't be
surprised. Not that again, but I would believe it. That darn, I don't know what to say about it. That's horrible. Now that's going to be another story. That's horrible. Mm-hmm. The little boy. It seems like some of it was leaking out. It seems like the police at first did not admit, or they denied the policeman that was killed, they denied that he was in the house.
They lied. They said that he wasn't there.
Uh-huh.
They said, in the first story that came out, they said the cop wasn't there. So, and I've got to go.
You're okay, thank you.
Thanks for your call. We're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown, the Wake Up Call. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get to me. Oh, I love this song. Love this song.
Who had a dream? Oh, so take this dream and apply it to your life. Even though we know the ghetto's rough, but we got to keep your head up.
I'll keep your head up.
'Cause a new day will come. And love to the sun, even when the darkness.
Good morning, St. Louis. 33 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock, AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Walmart. Eastbound 44 at Lafayette, an overturned tractor trailer has the exit ramp blocked. There's a brief slowdown. Eastbound 70 between 94 and the Blanchett Bridge. Major road construction. Only the two left lanes are open for traffic, and traffic slows approaching 94 all the way to 5th Street. Northbound 55 between Loughborough and 270, no problems to report there. Eastbound 44 from Antire all the way in 270, no problems there. Eastbound 40 from the Boone's Crossing to Spady, everything's on the move. Northbound 270 from Sappington to Big Bend, no problems to report. Westbound 270 from Lilac all the way into Washington, Elizabeth, everything seems to be moving well. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks to Lindbergh, no problems to report. Northbound Illinois Route 3 at the 5570 exit ramp is closed. The northbound Route 3 ramp to westbound 5570 is closed for bridge deck repairs. The detours take eastbound 5570 to 4th Street, then double back onto westbound 5570. There are no delays at this hour. Your bridge approaches shape up like this. Westbound Kingbridge or westbound 5570 split at the Poplar Street Bridge. Everything's on the move. Westbound 64 all the way to 5570 split. No problems to report there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic before Laclede's Landing looks good. Florissant Road at Hereford and 70, look for the traffic lights not to be working. They're on red flash. And eastbound Manchester between Baxter and Henry, there's a broken water main. The right lane is closed. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Walmart. That shopping list seemed to look mighty ferocious. Fight back with one-stop shopping at Walmart Supercenter with services like Tire and Lube Express. Get everything your family needs at the Walmart price. Has never been easier. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. For today, breezy, a chance of rain this morning, and a chance of rain this afternoon. Isolated thunderstorms are even likely this afternoon. The high should be around 80. For this evening, look forward to breezy, occasional rain, low around 70. Tuesday, breezy, occasional rain, the high in the upper 70s. Tuesday evening, showers likely, low in the upper 60s. The chance of rain is 70%. Then on Wednesday, showers will continue with a high around 80. The chance of rain then is 70% as well. 77 degrees right here at AM 920 WGNU. Lambert Field is reporting 74 under cloudy conditions. Stay tuned now for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Tuesday morning at 8 on the award-winning wake-up call. United Airlines wants to slash legacy costs by cutting retirees' payments by up to half. A bill is in Congress that would place a six-month freeze on corporations dumping their pension plans on the government. If United gets away with this idea, you can be sure other companies will try it too. How could United be allowed to underfund its pension for years and then have nothing left for the workers? An examination of this issue with Beth Almeida, economist with the International Association of Machinists, Tuesday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? The Old Testament prophet Micah asked that question of his people thousands of years ago. Since 1994, that question has been one of the bedrock values of Hope for the Nations. In 20 countries around the world, Hope for the Nations turns today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders, provides security so children can become confident young people, actively trains them to become productive leaders in their society, and helps their communities to become self-sufficient. Learn more about Hope for the Nations and how you can become part of their worldwide ministry. Go online at www.hopeforthenations.com. That's www.hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations, turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders since 1994. What is the Lord requiring of you?
Before you go to the movies, go to Radio Free St. Louis. Find out what's worth seeing and what's not worth the bother. Join Dave Lenahan and Mark Glass for What's Good New at the Movies, a regular feature of Today's Solutions, Friday afternoons at 4:10 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Also online at www.blacktie-stlewis.com.
New state-of-the-art technology has made it possible to offer copies of programs heard on WGNU to the listening audience at a lower cost. If there is a specific program you are interested in having for your personal library, we can now make it available to you at a cost of $25 per hour. Please make a check or money order payable to WGNU Radio, 265 Union, St. Louis, 63108. Please specify the time, day, and particular topic, and allow 10 days delivery. All program recordings are subject to availability. Next on Mondays at 9, the hundreds of bodies discovered in Iraq over the past 6 months may be the work of a secret death squad brigade composed of Iraqi soldiers trained in such tactics by the American military. This was the same tactic used by the Contras in El Salvador during the insurrection there while the Reagan administration was in power. Is there a connection between the two? What type of democracy are we exporting? A look at this story with Christy Pardue, Communications Director for School of the Americas Watch, on the next edition of Mondays at 9. This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
number, baby.
Ah, it's Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Did you know? Did you know? Is it closing time? You don't have to go home, but you just can't stay here. Is it closing time? Could it be? Mercy, mercy me. Could it be closing time? There is, on Sunday, a secret, with quotation marks around it, memo was released that Britain and America are secretly preparing to withdraw most of their troops from Iraq. A secret paper written by UK Defense Secretary John Reid for Tony Blair reveals that many of the 8,500 British troops in Iraq are set to be brought home within, tick-tock, 3 months. 3 months, and the most of the rest will return 6 months later. Now, this particular document marked UK eyes only, that's all of us, appears to fly in the face of what Bush and Blair were saying, and I quote, Allied forces will not quit until Iraq's own forces are strong enough to take control of security. Mind you that, what is this, 6 months out or 2006? Can anybody say midterm elections? Can anybody say midterm elections? Embarrassingly, the document says that Americans, however, are split over the plan. And it suggests that one of the reasons for getting the British troops out is to, you think, save money. Cutting the UK troop numbers to 3,000 by the middle of next year will save Great Britain $500 million a year. Now, the question is that, did this happen as a result of what happened in London? Was this planned before then? Was this a reminder? Is this really that they are actually doing something that they have never done since we've been involved in this occupation? Engaged in a reality check and an honesty statement? I've never done that before. Secret memo that says in 3 months, actually, most of the 8,000 troops, Great Britain troops, will be pulled out of Iraq. Now, and in 6 months, all of them will be gone. And then the question becomes begged. Now, remember, we've got this Downing Street memo thing going on. What propels the energy for the Downing Street memo cry for impeachment? This little old thing called war out here. Get rid of the war, get rid of the energy for the impeachment. So goes a theory. What's going on out here? Republicans are saying we fixing to lose some power up in here in these midterm elections. Get rid of the war. Say George Bush is number one. He brought us home from a war he lied to get us into. Woohoo! Re-elect Republicans. They can bring back some of that money and start handing out special projects like candy. Yeah, they're talking about getting out. It remains to be seen if America is going to do it. But I know that Britain is. Britain's done. We out of here. I can't take the heat anymore. So says Tony Blair. My name is Liz Brown. This be the wake-up call. We have so much stuff to talk about. Secret plan. Not secret anymore. Not secret anymore. Oh, and what's interesting, folks, if you notice this. George W. Bush didn't come back with his Supreme Court nomination yet. They're holding off. Getting the publicity machine oiled up, mileage checked, tires kicked. They're going to bring back a retired or no longer senator, Fred Thompson, the TV actor. He's going to be the spokesman. for this. It's going to be, these are interesting times that we live in, y'all. My name is Liz Brown. This be the wake-up call. We have to take a break. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me. We have much to talk about.
Gee, baby, ain't I good to you? There's nothing too good for a boy, that's so true. Gee, baby, ain't I good to you? But you some cashmere.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline, London. The British Sunday Mail is reporting that the U.S. and Britain have developed a secret plan to withdraw forces from Iraq. The British Defense Secretary, John Reid, has drafted a white paper report for Prime Minister Tony Blair that outlines the withdrawal of most of their 8,500 troops within 3 months, and the rest pulling out within another 6 months. If Britain were to leave, it is likely that most other coalition forces would follow. The report also says the Bush administration is split over this plan, and that the British government will save tons of money by getting out of the quagmire. The official government position by both the U.S. and Britain is that the troops will stay until the Iraqi forces are capable of holding their own. But if Britain pulls out, other international forces under their control may feel unsafe and leave as well. This memo has been drafted over the past several weeks, and the plans are described as being well advanced. And Dateline Washington. One of several Islamic websites that carried early claims of responsibility for the bombings in London last week has a strange connection to President Bush. The Arabic website is hosted by a server in Houston, Texas, by the name of Everyone's Internet. It was founded by two brothers named Robert and Roy Marsh about 7 years ago, and last year it reported earnings of over $30 million. Roy Marsh claims to be good friends with President Bush's former sister-in-law, Sharon Bush, as well as the current Secretary of the Navy. Everyone's Internet also has several pornographic sites that it hosts. The Islamic website, called the Secret Organization of the Al-Qaeda Jihad in Europe, is one of a number of websites that American intelligence services routinely monitor. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
The Citizens Commission on Human Rights of St. Louis Incorporated presents the Electric Shock Radio Hour. A call-in radio talk show airing on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, this Friday from 10 to 11 p.m., hosted by Roger Teagarden, Executive Director of Citizens Commission on Human Rights of St. Louis.
Families need look no further than the Wyndham Anatole Hotel for great summer vacation savings, offering fantastic hotel discounts and partnering with some of Dallas's best family attractions. Wyndham Anatole has the ultimate family getaway package, as low as $129.95 per night. Families are sure to enjoy the hotel's three pools, huge health club, 7-acre park, and a self-guided audio tour of the hotel's private art collection. Call 214-761-7500 or log on to WyndhamAnatole.com to make your reservations today.
Tuesday morning at 8 on the award-winning wake-up call. United Airlines wants to slash legacy costs by cutting retirees' payments by up to half. A bill is in Congress that would place a six-month freeze on corporations dumping their pension plans on the government. If United gets away with this idea, you can be sure other companies will try it too. How could United be allowed to underfund its pension for years and then have nothing left for the workers? An examination of this issue with Beth Almeida, economist with the International Association of Machinists. Tuesday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
To me, summer is family time. A time to spend with the kids doing stuff we all love to do, which is why we go to Worlds of Fun. That and the fact that they have lots of coasters. Mamba, Timberwolf, Spinning Dragons, Boomerang. I like to ride them all. Of course, World of Fun has stuff for the kids, too. Mine loved the new Peanuts Playhouse at Camp Snoopy. They played and played, took a little break, and then played and played some more. Then, if we need to cool off, we go to Oceans of Fun, where we ride the water slides, Typhoon and Diamond Head, and then the tube rides, Caribbean Cooler, Aruba Tuba, and Hurricane Falls. And finally, the wave pool. Another great thing is we can stay the night at the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort. Talk about easy.
Worlds of Fun and Oceans of Fun. Do one park or do both with a ride and slide ticket.
It's so cool.
Open daily. Make reservations for the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort or book your Joe Cool's Backyard Barbecue at worldsoffun.com.
Next, on Mondays at 9, the hundreds of bodies discovered in Iraq over the past 6 months may be the work of a secret death squad brigade composed of Iraqi soldiers trained in such tactics by the American military. This was the same tactic used by the Contras in El Salvador during the insurrection there while the Reagan administration was in power. Is there a connection between the two? What type of democracy are we exporting? A look at this story with Christy Pardue, Communications Director for School of the Americas Watch, on the next edition of Mondays at 9. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Boom, clack, boom, clack.
I want a moonshot.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get up. Get to me in the next hour. Comptroller Darlene Green is going to come on the show. She'll be here in the studio to talk about a breaking story in the city of St. Louis. Efforts afoot. Oh, man, efforts afoot. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Brown.
Morning.
You need to lay off Boy George. You're a little bit too aggressive, and that's all I'm going to tell you.
Okay? I understand.
You need to lay off Boy George.
I understand. I understand.
Also, there's an author called Michael Rupert. You ever heard of him?
Sure have.
Okay, and he has the book Crossing the Rubicon.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that or talked about that?
I have not talked about it, nor have I seen it.
Ma'am, you got to check it out. He is a former police detective when the drugs came into L.A.
Mm-hmm.
back during the Iran-Contra thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he ties all that together all the way up through 9/11 forensically. And he just says, hey, he just laying out the facts. He said the only way you can truly solve a case is that there has to be motive and all of those type of things and the opportunity to do it. And if your readers can check that book out, Crossing the Rubicon, it will peel the onions back on this administration.
Thank you so much. It tells the whole story.
Thank you so much.
Bye. And we're going to have a guest on I believe it's Thursday. There was a janitor in the basement of one of the Twin Towers. He says, he was there, and he heard a bomb in the basement of one of the Twin Towers before they were hit by the planes. And he testified to Congress about this. He's going to be on the show this week. We've got so much stuff to talk about. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, ever kind of, all kinds of ways. Get to me. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to ask your listening audience, have they heard anything about, I believe his name is Floyd Cruz. I think he was the interim superintendent for the St. Louis Public School System being accused or some connection with some monies being missing having to do with computers. I thought I heard something like that, and I would like to know, could your listening audience add anything to that? Also, I like to say that when I first heard about Kevin Johnson. The first so-called news I heard was that he had been captured. And I was waiting to hear about this big capture, and come to find out that he wasn't captured at all, that he had been turned himself in peaceably. And also, one other tidbit is the movie Fahrenheit 9/11 is playing on Showtime. And for those of you who haven't seen it, don't miss it. It's so clear. I was watching it over again, and it showed in that documentary that was being tortured, being done to the Iraqi citizens right there on the streets of Baghdad. That was before we found out about the abuse at the Abu Ghraib prison. I mean, they were putting those bags over the people of Baghdad right on the street. And you remember when, I think it was three young people that were accused of stealing something, and they stripped them naked and made them run through the streets?
They
were torturing people then.
They also wrote on their body.
Yes.
All right, thank you
thank
for your call.
You.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. In the next hour, we're going to be talking to Comptroller Darlene Green. There was an effort afoot last week to introduce a issue to the public. We would have had to have voted on it to make some charter changes, and these charter changes would have taken away power from Darlene and also increased the power of Francis Slay. And the reason why this is a story, because people introduce legislation all the time locally and in local circumstances, but what's interesting and compelling and significant about this story is that these efforts were not done by who you would expect to do. This piece of legislation was introduced by Jeffrey Boyd. And I don't know, I just think of all of the people of African descent that helped put Jeffrey where he is. And if I just find it puzzling at the least, particularly when you look at the wording, and we're going to talk specifically about the wording when the comptroller gets here in the 7 o'clock hour. Puzzling, at the least, and really kind of reprehensible at the other end of this. So we're going to be talking about that in the next hour, folks. Then after that, we're going to be talking to authors. We're going to be talking to journalists. We're going to be talking to a woman whose story is in this month's Essence. About missing, what does it mean to be missing in America? Who's going to catch the eye of the American media if you go missing? Someone to look like me? We're going to be talking about that with author Crystal Brent Zook. And that's going to be in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me, y'all. We have much to talk about.
Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I remember a train that progress was being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air from the brothers. Stop
the WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. Tropical Depression Dennis is heading to the northwest, leaving behind plenty of flooding and damage in Florida, Alabama, and Mississippi, but emergency officials have seen no widespread destruction. But as many as 500,000 customers are without power. Michael Schneiderman with Alabama Power says crews are heading out across the state.
We also have crews from 17 states that have committed to assist us depending on the extent of the damage.
The remnants of Dennis could trigger tornadoes and downpours. British police have reopened the street in central London where most government offices are located. It was blocked briefly this morning, reportedly because of a suspicious package. Londoners are trying to get back to normal after last week's bomb attacks. We're live with ABC's Linda Albin at London's King's Cross Station. Linda?
Clarissa, they're riding with their eyes wide open with butterflies in their stomachs, but commuters are taking trains and riding the buses and subways. Here at busy King's Cross Station, people pause to look at the flowers and flags from many nations placed here as a memorial to the victims. Pictures, too, of those still missing plastered on the station's walls. Clarissa?
ABC's Linda Albin, live in London. President Bush talks about the war on terror this morning. ABC's Anne Compton is live at the White House. Anne?
That wake-up call in London has President Bush warning the war on terrorism is a long one. He delivers the message this morning at the training academy where the next generation of FBI agents is being groomed for terrorism investigations. His strategy also encourages the spread of democracy to get at the roots of terrorism. Clarissa?
ABC's Anne Compton reporting live. Four militants escaped from the U.S. military base north of Kabul, and the fourth Navy SEAL missing in Afghanistan since last month has been found. The U.S. military says it appears he was killed in action. This is ABC News.
Having diabetes can be a struggle. It means testing your blood several times a day. But all those little drops add up to something big. Living a full, healthy life. We know it takes effort. That's why we made the Essentia Breeze Meter effortless. With its convenient Essentia Auto Disc, you just load the meter once for 10 accurate tests. Ask your doctor or pharmacist for the effortless meter. The Essentia Breeze from Bayer.
My name is Sarah, and when I was about 17, I started Fry Farms. I sold our first load of pumpkins to a local Walmart. And one by one, my brothers came home from college to join me in the business. 10 years later, we're selling millions of cantaloupes, watermelons, and pumpkins that can be found in Walmart stores across the nation. Walmart appreciated the quality of the local produce, and the rural communities have thrived because of our business with Walmart. It makes me feel great. I love it.
The scheduled liftoff of Space Shuttle Discovery on Wednesday is important to NASA, of course, but it's critical for local businesses.
Minus 10.
As many as 300,000 visitors could be coming to watch the blastoff of Discovery Wednesday. Each shuttle launch earns the local economy $5 million to $6 million.
And liftoff of Discovery.
While excited, many businesses have had to diversify to survive in the 2.5 years since space shuttles were grounded. They've focused on promoting beaches, cruise ships, and nature parks. Still, business owners say the shuttle launches are a huge morale booster, one calling them Christmas, the 4th of July, and every other holiday rolled into one. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News, New York.
Lance Armstrong finished well behind the Tour de France leader in yesterday's ninth stage of the famous race. He's now third overall, but tomorrow the race moves into the Alps, and Armstrong usually does very well in the mountainous part of the Tour. I'm Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 4 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at your news, your traffic, and your weather. This hour's news is sponsored by Barnes Jewish Hospital. In the news in your 7 o'clock hour, Major K-Squad detectives say they've solved the murder of 36-year-old Paul Weineman of Bethalto. Jordan Madlock and John Searlock, who share a residence in St. Louis, are charged with first-degree murder and concealing a homicidal death. Authorities say Weineman met the suspect at Patty O's in St. Louis on July 1st and went with them to PT's in Centerville. That's where Weineman was killed between PT's and the Belleville location where her body was found last week. Matlock and Searlock are both being held on $700,000 bond in a Jefferson County jail where they're awaiting extradition to Illinois. A new report from the Missouri Advocacy Group blasts President Bush's tax cut plan, which the group claims is benefiting the wealthy at the expense of children. Researcher and organizer Lisa Cohen of the Missouri Citizen Education Fund says the tax cuts for the wealthy are doing harm to the most vulnerable members of society.
Benefited from the WIC program, which is a special nutrition program, 11,200 Missourians would no longer be able to receive those services. And these are incredibly wise investments to spend, because if you spend this money on children early, it's going to enhance their ability to succeed later on.
The report claims that the tax cuts for the top 5% wealthiest Missourians cost the federal government nearly $2 billion in 2004 alone, an amount higher than the money saved by cutting Missouri children's programs over the next 5 years. City of Florissant is financially sound. That's a message from Mayor Robert Lowry, who says he wants to dispel rumors that the city has financial problems. Lowry says the recent $600,000 in personal cutbacks came from the city employees who either retired or weren't replaced or were replaced with part-time employees. The city's operating expenses come to $30 million annually. And finally, this hour, gas prices are up in St. Louis area, and they are likely to continue rising. Julie Neiman, a analyst for R.T. Jones Capital Management, says the spike in prices has a lot to do with Hurricane Dennis. Neiman says we are at the maximum level of refining capacity, so there's no room for a loss in production. If the refinery was destroyed by a hurricane, prices will continue to rise. Neiman says drivers should get used to seeing gas prices above the $2 level, although she says this could change in a few years when production increases. This hour's news has been sponsored by Barnes Jewish Medical Center. Now St. Louis has a hospital ranked sixth in the nation by U.S. News and World Reports. Congratulations to Barnes Jewish Hospital. To connect with top-ranked care, call 314-TOP-DOCS. Seven minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. Now let's take a look at your WGNU traffic. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Eckerd's. Eastbound 44 at Lafayette, an overturned tractor trailer truck has an exit ramp blocked. There are no delays. Eastbound 40 at Grand, a report of a dog running in and out of traffic. Northbound 55 between Rivers Barracks and Arsenal, no problems to report. Eastbound 44 between Bowles and 270, everything's on the move. Eastbound 40 slows just after 141 all the way to Mason Road. Northbound 270 between 44 and Marshall Road, look for heavy volume this hour. Westbound 270 at West Florissant, you have heavy volume there as well. Westbound 255 between Telegraph and Lee May Ferry, expect normal traffic. Eastbound 40 between McKnight and Hanley, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Lindbergh, heavy volume there. Southbound 170 between the Club Tower and 40 is slow, and your bridge approaches look like this. Westbound 5570 split between 3rd Street and the Poplar Street Bridge. You can expect slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at 5570 split, look for no problems to report. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from McLeod's Landing, everything looks good this hour. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock, or in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Eckerd's. The time is ripe for fresh peaches at Eckerd's, so bring the whole family to Eckerd's for tractor rides, pick your own peaches, the fun corral, and more. Eckerd's in Belleville, where the fun is always in season. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, Wednesday. Breezy chance of rain this morning, chance of rain this afternoon, isolated thunderstorms even, with a high around 80. This evening, breezy occasional rain with a low around 70. Tuesday, breezy occasional rain, high in the upper 70s Tuesday evening. Showers likely with a high in the upper 60s. Chance of rain Tuesday evening, 70%. And rain will continue on into Wednesday with a high around 80. The chance for rain on Wednesday is 70% as well. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under cloudy conditions, we have 77 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 74, and clouds as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown coming up. The award-winning wake-up call is next. Another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Next, on Mondays at 9, the hundreds of bodies discovered in Iraq over the past 6 months may be the work of a secret death squad brigade composed of Iraqi soldiers trained in such tactics by the American military. This was the same tactic used by the Contras in El Salvador during the insurrection there while the Reagan administration was in power. Is there a connection between the two? What type of democracy are we exporting? A look at this story with Christy Pardue, Communications Director for School of the Americas Watch, on the next edition of Mondays at 9.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you say? I think it is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Bad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, there's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you stand?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal dignity.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways get to us. Don't forget, you can check out my column this week at lizbrown.com. That's LIZZBROWN.com. You can always, if you miss this hour or if you want somebody else to hear this hour, you can always go to White Rose Society, all one word, WhiteRoseSociety.org, where the show is archived daily. So you can always catch an hour that you might have missed or get an hour to a friend. This morning we have a story to talk about, a breaking story to talk about, a local story to talk about that really
begs the question of a number of national type of issues. Here in the city of St. Louis, there is a board bill, Board Bill number 139, Board Bill number 139, that was introduced. And as I said in the last hour, the reason for this introduction of this bill, at the very, 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 very least, is puzzling. Because it's one of these bills that is a charter change, which means that it would have to go through the entire city in order to be approved. That's one reason that is puzzling. Second reason is puzzling is because it suggests that this is about affirmative action in its some of the words that originally appeared in the bill. But it doesn't appear to be about that, so it's puzzling. And then on the other end, it is reprehensible that this bill has been introduced simply because of what was done to get it introduced. This is a bill that would take away power from the comptroller, Darlene Green. And Darlene Green, as you know, in the last election, received more votes than the, even though she was running unopposed, received more votes than in the mayor's race with Francis Slay. She received more votes than he did, even though she ran unopposed. So that numerical fact suggests a citywide approval, underscores a citywide approval of the comptroller. And the reason I point that out, and the reason why this is kind of problematic, reprehensible, puzzling, all those words and then some, is given the fact that Darlene Green has such citywide support, and particularly strong, relentless North Side support, it's puzzling why such a bill that would take away her authority would be introduced by a man from the North Side, an older person from the North Side, Jeffrey Boyd. I have with me this morning Comptroller Darlene Green to talk about this bill, its genesis, what was done, and what has happened with this bill. And also to articulate some of her concerns about it and how she dealt with it. Good morning, Comptroller.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I'm great. It's good to be here this morning.
It's good to have you here. Now, Board Bill 139, start at the beginning with this. When did you first hear about this bill?
Well, it was handed out to us a couple of Fridays ago, June 24th,
mm-hmm.
and we were asked to take a look at it. My staff and I took a look at it, but prior to even really getting into it, I glanced through it and informed the alderman immediately that I thought I would have a problem with this.
Okay, but let's back up just a second because I want people to feel this. You were first told about this bill the week of the 24th.
Yes, actually on that date.
And what is your understanding of how long this bill had been percolating along and how long this bill had been working on?
I had no clue until that day.
Okay. Did you talk to Jeffrey Boyd? Did he tell you about how long he had been working on this?
Subsequently,
bill?
I did. Mm-hmm. I sat down with him, talked to him, and he said that he'd had this on his mind and had been working about 6 months.
6 months on this.
On this. And, of course, I brought to his attention that I had not seen a draft of it that might have been available in May,
mm-hmm.
possibly in April. So, of course, you know, we were hit with it less than 2 weeks before it was to be heard in committee.
So he, and how did you come to hear about the bill?
Actually, it was given to me by Jeffrey Boyd as he passed it out to the other members of the board.
So it wasn't a special trip that he made to your office to get it, to hand it to you, didn't go knock on your door and say, here, this is something that you might want to look at. You got it the same time everybody else got it.
Yes, I did. At the exact same time that everybody else, I observed him passing it out, and I happened to be in the board room at the time, and I got a copy as well.
So if you had not been in the board room at that time, then you would have never seen this.
I may not have. I can't say. I know that there was no special call prior or coming to my office and offering this up.
So when you first took a look at this board bill, 139, what did you think when you first saw it?
Well, it was troubling.
Mm-hmm.
I could see the words that had to do with minority participation and local business, but I noticed that it was regarding the supply commissioner and it regarded services.
Mm-hmm.
And in the charter, which this is about mm-hmm. changing the charter.
And if, just for our audience sake, as I was looking through all of the information that I got from you on this to take a look at it so that I could prepare for the show today, I was wondering, as I was looking at this information, a bill to change the charter is a big deal.
It's a very big deal.
And it doesn't come along very often.
No, it doesn't, because a lot of changes that helps the city go forth and go forward with the new times can
mm-hmm.
be handled with an ordinance.
Mm-hmm. So most of the stuff that's done, ordinances.
Yes.
Not a charter change. And also a charter change requires the entire city.
Exactly. And when you're talking about minority participation, Liz, you have a mayor's executive order.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to strengthen that, of course, you would want to make that executive order an ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you would strengthen it. It gives the city more leverage if it becomes an ordinance and to deal with minorities participating in city contracts and services.
Because that's the description of this bill, that this was about the words that were given to you about why this should be supported, is that this is about bringing more minority contractors and more minority businesses into city government.
That's right. But it really does not. It actually weakens, in my opinion, minority participation when you really delve into it and read it. What you get is a choice between either minority participation or a local business or a lowest responsible bid.
And I want to read the exact language, because as I was looking at this, you know, I was stunned at how clear this is not about minority participation. The language, and I want to read this for the audience so that you all get the specificness of what we're talking about, and it reads as follows. In the determination of the award to the lowest responsible bidder, nothing herein shall be interpreted to preclude an award to a bidder other than the lowest actual bidder if such award is made in furtherance of affirmative action policies adopted by the city for the promotion of minority or disadvantaged businesses, and here's the kicker, the or part, or in furtherance of provisions of any ordinance promoting businesses located within the city of St. Louis. I mean, that or is a kicker, is an absolute kicker. It says that we can ignore any bidder, we can give it to who we want, basically.
Exactly. So when you put forth something that talks about minority participation in your verbiage
mm-hmm.
and then submit something that absolutely weakens the leverage that African Americans and other minorities have in participating in city business, it's an affront to the community.
Absolutely. And let's back up just a little bit, because we know that Jeffrey Boyd didn't talk to you in the months that he had been percolating on this. We know that he didn't make any special effort to make certain that you had a look at this before it went to hearing. Are you aware of any black businesses or any other black alderpersons that Jeffrey Boyd sat down and talked with as he was putting together this so-called minority or disadvantaged business bill?
No, I don't have a clue as to who he would have consulted. The bill was put forth with his name only.
And that's the other interesting part about it. I only see one sponsor's name on this, and it's sponsored by Jeffrey Boyd, Alderman mm-hmm. Jeffrey Boyd.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I am not an alder person, never have, and have no desire to be one, but I haven't read every board bill that has come out of the Board of Aldermen, but is it normal that you really only have one sponsor on a bill?
When you've got a good bill that is going to set forth policies to further minority participation, you're going to have more than one sponsor, especially in the African-American community, because there are many local businesses, African-American businesses, who want to participate, and there are many aldermen who want to support them. So had this really been about minority participation, there would have been a string of aldermen.
And the other piece of this, too, Comptroller, is this is a charter change, and it requires a citywide vote. There's nobody's name on here but Jeffrey Boyd.
Exactly.
Now, okay, that's the minority part, and I want to talk more about the affirmative action piece on this. But let's move to how this impacts on your office.
Well, what it has is in the preamble of mm-hmm. this particular bill is the word services.
Mm-hmm.
Added to the other duties that now exist for the supply commissioner. Mm-hmm. They had not been there before.
And what does that mean? How does that break down and impact on your job?
What it does is we have already by ordinance. An ordinance covers professional services, ordinance number 64102, 64103, and 104. And those ordinance cover putting together a process of selecting for professional services. Now, this would take that away and put it into the supply commissioner, of course. Supply commissioner is hired by or appointed by the mayor. So that affects not only my office, but other elected officials. The city treasurer would be affected, license collector, collector of revenue, so forth and so on down the line, removing the responsibility from these elected officials into the one area of supply commissioner. Now, it's in the preamble, the word services. And then, of course, it's not shown any, it's not any place else in the bill. But what happens is, as you know as a lawyer, when you're open to interpretation, you always go back to your preamble mm-hmm. in terms of the intent.
Absolutely.
So the intent of the bill happens to be in the preamble. Therefore, the real intent had to do with moving city services from under the comptroller and other elected officials to the mayor.
And so that means that he would now be in charge of putting these bids out, deciding who the bid. And when you add the other language of this bill that says, you know, that, and I want to read it again, when you add the other language to this bill or any business or in furtherance of the provisions of any ordinance promoting businesses located within the city of St. Louis, then the mayor now would have the opportunity to give any bill, I mean, any company, whatever bid that they, I mean, it wouldn't matter what their bid was.
That's exactly right. It wouldn't matter what the bid was, wouldn't matter whether the company had minority participation or not.
454-0400 is my phone number. Our toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. And don't forget, we are broadcasting live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. And you can email me at revolution@lizbrown. That's LIZZBROWN. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. And we are being archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. So if you missed an hour, you can go get an hour at whiterosesociety.org. Another part of this that just contributes to suspiciousness of the reason behind the introduction of this board bill 139 by Alderman Jeffrey Boyd is the fact that it says it's about minority participation, and yet the notification of who can apply for these bids has been reduced within this bill.
Exactly. The current charter allows for advertising in two daily newspapers. Of course, we have one,
mm-hmm.
but this particular charter change would limit that to only one daily newspaper, which then would give whoever would interpret it, look at this for interpretation, just the one paper, which in our case is the Post-Dispatch, eliminating other weekly newspapers. And we have the American, we have the Sentinel, the Argus, even the St. Louis Business Journal,
Riverfront Times.
We have all kinds of weekly periodicals.
Exactly.
So with the current charter, that gives you some leverage to go to any of those weekly periodicals so that you can advertise your bids.
And see, and that's the other piece of it that makes it suspicious that whether or not this was about minority participation, because if this was, you would think that it would either enhance or underscore the need and the certainty of bids appearing in periodicals that reach minorities.
Exactly. Exactly. And there was the opportunity to put those exact words in there.
Because mm-hmm. he wrote it. Yeah, and he worked on it for 6 months or
exactly.
however long. We had the opportunity to put the – and he's the only person that wrote it, because oftentimes when people talk about, well, it was a collaborative act to put – or collaborative it was collaborative to put together this bill, and this person didn't want that in there, so as a compromise, we didn't put it in there. He's the only one who wrote this.
Exactly.
So he had every opportunity to put exactly the words in there that he wanted to put in
exactly.
there.
Exactly. Because certainly when you reduce the scope of advertising, you're not going to get the wide range.
No, you're not.
Persons looking at it that need the business.
Absolutely.
Or even an opportunity
to respond to it.
Exactly. The opportunity to further minority participation would mean that you would further your advertising.
We're gonna take a break, folks. I'm talking to Comptroller Darlene Green. We're talking about Board Bill 139 introduced by the puzzling Board Bill 139 introduced by Jeffrey Boyd. I'm Liz Brown. We'll get to some of your calls when we get back at 454-0400, 1-877-920-WGNU, or email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. Stay with us. We'll be back.
A long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Walmart. Eastbound 44 at Lafayette exit that is closed due to an earlier overturned tractor trailer. It's now off drive for traffic slows after Jefferson. Eastbound 70 between 94 and the Blanchette Bridge. Look for major road construction. Only the two left lanes are getting through at this hour. Traffic is backed up east of Zumbo all the way to 5th Street. Northbound 55 between Bayless and 44. No problems reported. Eastbound 44 between the Chrysler Plant and Big Bend. Everything's running smoothly. Eastbound 40 slows after 141 all the way to Mason Road. Northbound 270 between Gravois and Doherty Ferry. Traffic is lighter than normal on your Monday morning commute. Westbound 270 from New Florissant all the way into 170. Look for slow traffic in the right lane. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks Bridge to Lemay Ferry. Nothing to report this hour. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Lindbergh. Heavy volume there. Southbound 170 between the Club Tower and 40. Look for slow traffic there as well. And your bridge approaches look like this. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street to the Poplar Street Bridge. It is slow this hour. Westbound 64 at the 5570 split. No problems to report there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank onto Laclede's Landing. Look for very heavy volume in your 730 commute. Northbound Telegraph at Barracks View. Look for two left lanes blocked due to an earlier car file. There's short backup. And Manchester between Hanley and Baxter. Look for a water main break. Just the right lane is open. There's a brief slowdown. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Walmart. That shopping list can be mighty ferocious. Fight back with one-stop shopping at Walmart Supercenters with services like their Tire and Lube Express. Getting everything your family needs at Walmart price has never been easier. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Breezy, a chance of rain this morning, then a chance of rain this afternoon. Isolated thunderstorms are possible with a high around 80 this evening. Breezy, occasional rain with a low around 70. Tuesday, breezy, occasional rain with a high in the upper 70s. Tuesday evening, showers are likely with a low in the upper 60s. The chance of rain on Tuesday evening is 70%. Moving on to Wednesday, showers will continue with a high around 80. A chance for rain on Wednesday is also 70%. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 78 degrees under cloudy conditions. Lambert Field is reporting 75 in clouds. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Tuesday morning at 8 on the award-winning wake-up call. United Airlines wants to slash legacy costs by cutting retirees' payments by up to half. A bill is in Congress that would place a six-month freeze on corporations dumping their pension plans on the government. If United gets away with this idea, you can be sure other companies will try it too. How could United be allowed to underfund its pension for years and then have nothing left for the workers? An examination of this issue with Beth Almeida, economist with the International Association of Machinists, Tuesday morning at 8 on the award-winning wake-up call.
Shift your computer into overdrive, sports overdrive that is, at WGNU.net.
I started using drugs and alcohol when I was about 12 years old. I was bored and I thought drugs would be exciting.
I started doing drugs because I was shy. I wanted to fit in.
I thought using drugs was a good way of dealing with stress.
My parents must have told me a million times,
don't do drugs, you know, they'll ruin your life.
Now I know what they all meant.
People often begin using drugs as a solution to a problem. Eventually, the drug use itself becomes a much greater problem. Call Narcanon Arrowhead today at 1-800-468-6933.
New state-of-the-art technology has made it possible to offer copies of programs heard on WGNU to the listening audience at a lower cost. If there is a specific program you are interested in having for your personal library, we can now make it available to you at a cost of $25 per hour. Please make a check or money order payable to WGNU Radio, 265 Union, St. Louis, 63108. Please specify the time, day, and particular topic, and allow 10 days delivery. All program recordings are subject to availability.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. 9913. That's 800-376-9913.
Next on Mondays at 9, the hundreds of bodies discovered in Iraq over the past 6 months may be the work of a secret death squad brigade composed of Iraqi soldiers trained in such tactics by the American military. This was the same tactic used by the Contras in El Salvador during the insurrection there while the Reagan administration was in power. Is there a connection between the two? What type of democracy are we exporting? A look at this story with Christy Pardue, Communications Director for School of the Americas Watch, on the next edition of Mondays at 9.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Every ghetto, every city, and suburban place I've been, made me recall my days.
Oh, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown, and I'm here with Comptroller Darlene Green. We're talking about this troubling, problematic, and reprehensible, actually, Board Bill 139. Comptroller, welcome back.
Thanks, Liz.
Let me get to a caller here. Welcome to the Wake Up Call. You're on the air.
Good morning, Liz.
Oh, Alderman Charles Quincy Troop, good morning.
Good morning, Darlene.
Good morning.
Quincy. What's on your mind?
Well, I was listening to the two of you this morning, and I just felt that I had to call because this was the most insane legislative maneuver that I've ever seen in my 20-some-odd years as a legislator. Something that is as important as this, we had A, B, C, and D. And the white community, the black community, and the voters of the city of St. Louis spoke loud and clear.
They said no.
In terms of where they were with the reorganization of the city government, the way it was presented, and not only the way it was presented, the people who presented it.
And also where they wanted the power to stay.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you turn around and you produce a bill, and the first bill had some serious problems, but it also had affirmative action in it.
Mm-hmm.
Then, between the 24th and the 30th...
June 24th and June 30th.
That was a substitute bill that surfaced. And the substitute bill took out affirmative action and a whole lot of other...
Well, and let's be clear for the audience, Quince. You're talking about the words affirmative action. Those
yes.
two words were removed from the substitute bill 4 days later.
Yeah, and that's what was so sickening and so crazy about it. So when they made the motion to take up the bill, I voted to not even take up a bill. It would have been embarrassing.
Well, let's back up. Just back up for a minute, Quincy. Did you speak to Jeffrey Boyd about his decision to remove the two words affirmative action in the substitute bill?
Well, that's one of the real flaws in that allow all of this craziness to happen in the Board of Aldermen. Because of the way the staffing and the structure of the board is, you don't even get a copy of the substitute. We didn't even have a copy of the bill, let alone the substitute.
But at some point, did you talk to him about the removal of the two words affirmative action?
No, I never saw him.
Did you speak to him about this when you saw him at and when you had the bill in your hand? Did you say, Jeffrey, why'd you take out the words affirmative action?
I never saw Jeffrey until we were in the committee meeting.
Okay, right.
And then when I saw him in the committee meeting, I voted against the motion to take up his bill.
Mm-hmm.
And then, when he was taking the bill up, the question came up on him when I questioned him about the affirmative action language being removed. He had the off-the-wall comment like, affirmative action spooks people, certain people.
Wait a minute. I just got to slow down just for a second. Jeffrey Boyd said when confronted with his decision to remove two words from the bill, affirmative action, he said the reason he removed it is because the words affirmative action spook some people?
Exactly.
Spook
then I asked him, well, you know, what the heck is the definition? What do you mean by certain people? And he said, well, it makes them feel uncomfortable and they just can't deal, more or less, with affirmative action.
Jeffrey,
we're going to give them some comfort in their racism and denial of economic parity for black people. The thing that really galled me about this, how in the heck could anybody take up a bill that's removing affirmative action and never even talk to the black caucus?
Mm. And he's a member of the Black Caucus.
He brought it before the Black Caucus. How could you deal with removing affirmative action from anything, anywhere, when you have a sitting Black Caucus and you don't take it before the caucus? That is the epitome of arrogance, the lack of sensitivity, and just outright stupid.
Well, and again, Jeffrey Boyd is a African-American older person in North St. Louis. Is that correct?
Yes, he's okay. The
22nd Ward. I know that the comptroller has to go before the next break. But what happened at the very end of this?
I think it heated up so bad for him that he decided that he was going to pull the bill. Or he was going to hold the bill until next week.
And that would be this week.
Yeah.
Okay, and Comptroller, have you talked to Jeffrey since then?
Well, yes, I have. As a matter of fact, I talked to him on this past weekend, this Saturday, as a matter of fact, and was informed by him that so many members of the community had called with their concern of his lack of sensitivity, actually narrowing the scope for minority economic participation, economic justice, and so forth, that he said he would remove the bill.
And before the audience, Jeffrey Boyd is facing a recall petition that is being circulated in his ward. Did Jeffrey Boyd ever say that he would never bring this bill back up?
Well, in the letter, actually, I received a letter mm-hmm. that was delivered to my home. It was addressed to the chairman of the committee mm-hmm. asking the chairman to withdraw the bill from mm-hmm. consideration until a later date.
Until a later date.
Yeah, after the actual wording had to do with after hearing from the community, after hearing from other members of the city legislators, other aldermen and elected officials, and my office, that he would remove it or withdraw it.
But, Comptroller, you gave your suggestions to him on the 23rd of June, before the hearing, right? The day before.
It was before the day of the hearing, which was actually July the 6th.
I'm sorry, July
6th.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry, July the 6th.
Yeah, the hearing was July 7th, and we gave him in writing so that there would be no misunderstanding.
But at that time, after he had a chance to read it then, he had
Wednesday, he had Thursday, he had Friday to come back to you and sit down with you and say, Comptroller, how can we fix this? How can we get this right? He never did that.
Well, we sat down, we mm-hmm. talked about it, mm-hmm. but then in the hearing, there was no mention of what had been talked about as Alderman Troop is saying. He tabled it mm-hmm. for consideration for the following week.
So after
the withdrawal didn't come to much later.
And just as a woman of African descent, I am troubled by the fact that we have the ranking citywide elected official talking to you about the problems in your bill, and you don't respect what she is saying enough, her expertise and her direction, to make the changes that she's telling you to make. He never made the changes based upon what you asked him to do.
No.
And you asked him to do that.
It would have seemed like they would have at least been taken up.
So he did worse than that. He didn't do it, and he didn't take it up.
Right. And then not until much later, he does have a letter in. I guess it went in today. Mm-hmm. Today is the first business day of the week, but I received a copy of it on Saturday addressed to the chairman of the committee to withdraw it for consideration until a later date.
So he didn't change his mind. He simply went for some cover on this, and he's tabled it.
Well, that's what it looks like. That's what the face of it is. It is troubling.
Mm-hmm.
I want to actually thank the community mm-hmm. for getting involved. And, Liz, I want to thank you for bringing it to the attention of the public, because certainly a bill like this that really is thinly veiled.
Absolutely.
To help.
Power grab.
A power grab.
Mm-hmm.
Right. A thinly veiled power grab
mm-hmm.
with the face of it to help the community, which in.
A black face on it. They put a black affirmative action face on it.
And in fact, it really goes to harm.
And I think that the community also needs to be just to be aware of actions that are being taken that people think that people aren't going to pay attention to.
And we do pay attention.
Absolutely.
We do pay attention.
Absolutely.
The elected officials, the community pays attention. And I think that this is just, you know, one more thing that we have to know, that just to be vigilant.
Heads up.
Heads up. Stay focused. Be aware. Because even though the ABCD was beaten last year, It appears that there's
Jeffrey Boyd
brought it right back in our faces, as if to acknowledge to us that we're dumb and stupid, or we won't catch this.
Exactly.
Or, you know,
exactly.
What
it was a kind of a contemptuous type of an act.
Very contemptuous.
And And Quincy, I'm sorry, I'm going to keep you on hold. I'm going to have to let the comptroller go, but could you please hold on, Quincy?
I've got to go to work, too.
Listen to you.
I'll hold for a minute.
Okay, thank you so much, comptroller. Thank you so
much. And thank
you. My pleasure. Listen, folks, we're going to take
a
break.
God bless.
God bless you. And we're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown, The Wake Up Call. I will be back after this. Stay with us.
Something for men only now. If you're a healthy male, 65 years of age or older, you may be eligible for a study at the Washington University School of Medicine to examine the benefits of testosterone replacement therapy on muscle mass, strength, body fat, physical function, and quality of life. For more information and requirements, call Mary Yorich at 314-286-1152 for details. Something for men only, from your friends at WGNU.
Hello. I'm Lucille Mitchell from the Bible Answer Crusade broadcast. Every Sunday morning at 9, the Seventh-day Adventist churches in the St. Louis area present a unique ministry that couples teaching and the Word of God to insights that will help you with everyday living. We deal with the areas concerning health, family, prophecy, and the gospel. And I think you will find every program is full of information you can use in your own life. Please listen to the Bible Answer Crusade broadcast every Sunday morning at 9, right here on Radio 920 WGNU.
Tuesday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. United Airlines wants to slash legacy costs by cutting retirees' payments by up to half. A bill is in Congress that would place a 6-month freeze on corporations dumping their pension plans on the government. If United gets away with this idea, you can be sure other companies will try it too.
How could United be allowed to underfund its pension for years and then have nothing left for the workers? An examination of this issue with Beth Almeida, economist with the International Association of Machinists, Tuesday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline Baghdad. The former interim prime minister of Iraq, Iyad Alawi, has leveled sharp criticism at the United States. He said last week in an interview that the problem facing his country is that the Americans have no vision or clear policy on how to go about in Iraq. He said his country desperately needs a policy to build national unity, and now Iraq is in stage one of a full-blown civil war. Alawi says he's made it clear to President Bush and Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld that the rebuilding effort was an urgent priority. So the president pledged nearly $6 billion for reconstruction, but he says that money never came through. He also said that the American presence is still required now because of the lack of stability, and any pullout needs to be based on conditions and not a timetable. Alawi says he's working feverishly on creating a new multi-ethnic secular coalition before the general elections take place later this year. And Dateline London. The BBC reports that a consulting agency with British government and police connections was conducting an exercise on how to deal with the London Underground subway system being hit by terrorist bombings. And this was going on at the exact same time that the real bombings were taking place on last Thursday. The managing director of Visor Consultants, Peter Power, is a former Scotland Yard official. This revelation bears an eerie coincidence to reports that the CIA was conducting drills on dealing with hijacked planes on the morning of September 11, 2001. The North American Air Defense Command had as many as 22 blips of hijacked aircraft show up on its screens that morning, but was told by the CIA that they were all part of the exercise drill and not to be alarmed. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Next, on Mondays at 9, the hundreds of bodies discovered in Iraq over the past 6 months may be the work of a secret death squad brigade composed of Iraqi soldiers trained in such tactics by the American military. This was the same tactic used by the Contras in El Salvador during the insurrection there while the Reagan administration was in power. Is there a connection between the two? What type of democracy are we exporting? A look at this story with Christy Pardue, Communications Director for School of the Americas Watch, on the next edition of Mondays at 9. Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Make me want to holla. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up. Get to me. We have much to talk about. We've been talking this morning, and I think the reason why this story was so compelling to me, this Board Bill 139 that was written on June 24th and the comptroller didn't hear about until last week, and it is so outrageous. It is so unacceptable. It is so wrong.
And it speaks volumes about a legislator that would address a community in this way. A secret bill thrown in at the last minute on behalf of an entity that the entire city has said no to. The entire city said no with Proposition 1 A, B, C, and D. A, B, C, and D, charter changes, the city said no. They said no to Francis Slay and his power grab, and then we have a legislator from the north side holding the hand, carrying the water, bringing this back to enhance the power of the office of the mayor. And as a woman of African descent, it is unacceptable that when the highest elected official in the African elected official in the city of St. Louis sits on the board of E&A, got more votes in the last election running unopposed than Francis Slay got running opposed. When that person says to you, there's a problem with this bill that takes away power and locates that power in the hands of the mayor's office. When she says that to you and you don't change, you don't slow your roll. You don't change your mind. There's a problem with that. That is unacceptable. And that shows the contempt that this individual has for the community. The absolute, utter, relentless contempt that they have for the community. And then you have to ask the question of who is it, what is it that whose water are you carrying with this? Whose water are you carrying with this? Car phone.
I wonder why. Nobody don't say anything about that.
Say again?
Nobody says anything about that. They find it justifiable homicide. People don't even have a vehicle. They don't even have a toothpick in the car. And we've had probably 8 or 10 in the last 10 years or more or less. I'd say 5 years of people that's been victimized, and still there's nothing ever happens. I'd like to hear an answer on that.
What are you talking about? 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Yes.
Well, thank you and Comptroller Darlene Green for putting that on the air this morning. That bill, what's that bill?
139, that has been temporarily tabled by Jeffrey Boyd. Temporarily tabled.
That means he's going to bring it back.
That means that he could.
He can bring it back.
That is correct.
And my Alderman Troop, I want you to stay abreast. And whenever it comes up, we got to be there. That's very troubling. That's bad. That's that A, B, and C coming through the back door.
And here's the thing. It's interesting. I suspect that Jeffrey Boyd wouldn't have tabled it if he wasn't facing a recall effort.
Right.
You know, if he wasn't under recall right now, I don't think that he would have tabled it. I really don't believe that he would have tabled it. And you know, tabling it is meaningless as well. He hasn't said, I will never bring this back. He has simply said in his letter to Darlene Green that he's going to table it for now. He's going to bring it back unless, of course, he's recalled out of office.
Right. He's waiting.
He's waiting.
He's waiting.
Absolutely.
That's what that is, because otherwise he would say, I
was wrong. No, I was wrong. I was wrong. What was I thinking? And for a person of African descent to say that he removed the language affirmative action from the bill because people were spooked by that language, what good are you as an elected official? What good are
you? That word spook. And we've been having the problem we just had about the Michigan, about the affirmative action. We're getting up this week for the judges. We're trying to get jobs, and they're bringing this minority participation, and I all want to set for jobs for black folks. No, got to stay on it, black folks. You must, the community, don't fall asleep.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. When we come back, we're going to be talking about a very, very, very
just another amazing issue. When someone goes missing, who does the media pay attention to? We're going to be talking about that in the next hour with an author, with several, two authors, and also an author of an article that is in Essence Magazine this month. Crystal Brent Zook will be with us next hour as we talk about when someone goes missing, who does the media turn its attention to? I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me. Much, much more to talk about.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
From ABC News, I'm Clarissa Douglas. Hurricane Dennis is now a tropical depression, but the storm left an impression on the Florida panhandle.
I've never seen it blow like that.
That man is in Destin, close to where Dennis came ashore with 120 mile-an-hour winds. But the storm moved at a good clip with little major structural damage reported. Some parts of the panhandle storm zone still haven't recovered from Hurricane Ivan 10 months ago.
What little bit we have left, we're not sure if we're going to have anything at all.
The Federal Emergency Management Agency is in high gear.
Our first priority right now is to get our rapid needs assessment teams into the most devastated areas to give us an idea of exactly what kind of damage that we're facing.
FEMA Chief Mike Brown, Dennis could bring tornadoes and torrential rain as it moves to the northwest through Alabama, Mississippi, and the Tennessee Valley. President Bush travels this morning to the FBI Training Academy in Virginia.
The White House says the president's Quantico visit will include a discussion of the London bombing attacks last Thursday, as well as the strategy in the war on terror. According to spokesman Scott McClellan, in the short term, by fighting the enemy abroad and by spreading freedom and democracy in the long term to fight the ideology of hatred and oppression.
ABC's Barbara Britt in Washington. The president's speech was scheduled before last week's bomb attacks in London. The mayor of London pledges the city will endure. Mayor Ken Livingstone was first to sign a book of condolence at City Hall. Outside the King's Cross subway station, there's a shrine to the victims who died there. This visitor is from Texas.
I hope that all the flowers and people coming around is of some comfort.
The first of the victims has been formally identified. Scotland Yard says it was 53-year-old Susan Levy who lived in a London suburb. At least 49 people were killed when the bombs went off in the subway and a bus. This is ABC News.
Get the good stuff.
Did you know that stop-and-go traffic can wear down your brake pads and increase the distance it takes for your car to stop? At Napa Auto Parts, we want to help you get your car ready for safe summer driving with a great deal on Napa True Stop brake pads. With an everyday price as low as $10.49, you can make sure your car is a lot safer without spending a lot of money. So stop by Napa and pick up some True Stop brake pads today.
Get the good stuff.
Napa, get the good stuff.
Mom, a bug bit me. Can we sing the itchy song?
Okay, I'll get the new lanacane first aid spray.
Now we spray on lanacane. Spray away the itch and germs and pain.
New fast-acting lanacane first aid spray with maximum strength itch medicine and antibacterial. Cools instantly, dries fast.
Thanks, Mom.
And for soothing, creamy relief, stop the itch, save your skin with maximum strength lanacane cream. Use as directed.
Jury selection begins today in Texas in the first of nearly 4,000 lawsuits against the company that made the painkiller Vioxx.
The first lawsuit is taking place in a small Texas town 30 miles south of Houston. Carol Ernst is suing Merck & Company, claiming its pain-killing drug, Vioxx, killed her husband. Merck insists it acted responsibly from the time the drug was introduced in 1999 until the company pulled it off the market last year, after studies indicated Vioxx caused an increased risk of heart attacks and strokes. Critics allege Merck knew the drug was dangerous all along. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
Four people were gored today in the streets of Pamplona, Spain, where the annual running of the bulls ends on Thursday. One of the six bulls in the herd separated from the other animals and started running back up the street. An off-duty police officer was gored as he tried to warn the crowd. I'm Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, I'm Chris Lane. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Carfax Vehicle History Reports. Two area police officers are recovering from injuries after a weekend crash. An officer from Wellston and one from Beverly Hills collided at Edison and Lucas and Hunt early Saturday morning as they responded to a pursuit. One of the police cars caught on fire. Both officers and one passenger were hurt, but none of the injuries are life-threatening. The subject of the pursuit was later stopped in the city of St. Louis. A bill co-sponsored by Missouri Senator Jim Talent would create a new office to look into unsolved civil rights-era murders. The Unsolved Civil Rights Crime Act, introduced by Talent and Connecticut Senator Christopher Dodd, has attracted more than 20 co-sponsors already. The bill would create a new unsolved crimes section in the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division, focusing specifically on unsolved civil rights murders from before 1970. Gas prices in the St. Louis area are at the $2.25 mark and will likely stay that way for a while. Julie Neiman, an analyst for R.T. Jones Capital Management, says people need to get used to high gas prices.
I think $2 is probably going to be a new floor. Now, in 3 years, we're going to see significant production coming in. New oil and gas supplies will be coming online, and we should have plenty of gasoline to go around by then. You possibly could see some breaks back in then.
Neiman credits the recent spike in gas prices to hurricane fear. She says with production already at a maximum, the fear that a hurricane could wipe out a refinery is causing prices to jump. And finally, a program at the University of Missouri-Columbia is getting some financial help for its quest to help pregnant women stop smoking. The Baby Beat program recently received a $2 million grant from the Institute of Child Health and Human Development. Under the program, low-income pregnant women are given a 24-hour phone number where they can reach a nurse who will help them deal with their stress in ways other than lighting up. Protect yourself when buying a car. You don't want to get stuck with a lemon. Be sure to get a Carfax Vehicle History Report. Ask your dealer or go to carfax.com for details. That's the news for the 8 o'clock hour. Now here's Howard Morton with a look at traffic.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Barnes Jewish Hospital. Eastbound 44 at Lafayette, the off-ramp is reopened after an earlier overturned tractor-trailer truck. Traffic still backs up all the way to Vandeventer this hour. Eastbound 70 between 94 and Blanchette Bridge, look for road construction. Only the two left lanes are getting through, and traffic is backed up approaching 94 at 5th Street. Northbound 55 at Carondelet and Lafayette, no problems to report. Eastbound 44 between 109 and Merrimack River Bridge, no problems there. Eastbound 40 at Maryville Center all the way to Mason Road, look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 between 44 and Marshall, look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 270 from New Florissant all the way into 170, slow traffic in the right lane. Westbound 255 from Coke to 55, expect normal traffic in your 8 a.m. commute. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, you have slow traffic as well. Also eastbound 40 between Spady and Hanley, traffic is flowing freely this hour. Your bridge approaches shape up like this. Westbound 5570 from 64 into the Poplar Street Bridge, look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 64 at the 5570 split, it is slow this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank all the way into Laclede's Landing, look for very heavy volume. And westbound Manchester Road between Henry and Baxter, look for a water main broke. And at just the right lane is open this hour, there's a brief slowdown. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Barnes Jewish Hospital. Now St. Louis has a hospital ranked 6th in the nation by U.S. News and World Reports. Congratulations to Barnes Jewish Hospital. Connect to top-ranked care. Call 314-TOP-DOCS for more details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. For today, breezy, a chance of rain this morning, otherwise rain this afternoon. Isolated thunderstorms in the afternoon are expected with a high around 80. For this evening, breezy, occasional rain with a low around 70. For Tuesday, breezy, occasional rain with a high in the upper 70s. Tuesday evening, showers are likely with a low in the upper 60s. The chance for rain on Tuesday evening is 70%, and that will move into Wednesday as showers are likely with a high around 80. Then the chance for rain on Wednesday is 70% as well. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under overcast skies, we have 78 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 75. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. Us up next, we'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Next, on Mondays at 9, the hundreds of bodies discovered in Iraq over the past 6 months may be the work of a secret death squad brigade composed of Iraqi soldiers trained in such tactics by the American military. This was the same tactic used by the Contras in El Salvador during the insurrection there while the Reagan administration was in power. Is there a connection between the two? What type of democracy are we exporting? A look at this story with Christy Pardue, Communications Director for School of the Americas Watch, on the next edition of Mondays at 9.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very bad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, stop
resisting. But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, and we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. Please don't forget that every day we are archived daily, all 4 hours archived daily on WhiteRoseSociety.org. So if you missed an hour, go get an hour at WhiteRoseSociety.org. And also, you can check me out at my website at LizBrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. Brown.com. You can email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. And we are streamed daily on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. So those are my digits. Handle your business. This is a story that our next hour is going to talk about, an issue. That's out there. And the story that propels the issue or underscores the issue is basically what happens in this country when someone goes missing. The history of the media in this country is they issue what is practically known as the missing white woman alert. I am continued every day, it seems like, there is something that makes my jaw drop about the lengths to which folks will go when there is a missing white woman. And to be specific, it's not just a missing white woman, but it's a missing blonde white woman. It's a missing attractive blonde white woman. We've had jets. The island of Aruba has put out jets. There are jets flying in the air to locate this missing young white woman, Natalie Holloway. And it's not just jets cruising the shores of Aruba. Forensic divers came out on Saturday to dive into the waters of Aruba to look for Natalie Holloway. There is not a television show that her mama cannot appear upon that won't give her play about her missing baby. Every day, the airwaves are filled with the tears of the mother of Natalie Holloway. Kind of begs the question, doesn't it? Well, aren't there some other missing babies out there? Aren't there some other mamas and daddies out there shedding tears about their missing baby girls? We need to talk about this. We need to talk about what the media says when someone goes missing, who they say it about, and how much they talk. If you haven't had a chance to see it, I would urge you to pick up a copy of this month's Essence magazine. There's an article in it, Have You Seen Her? Written by Crystal Brent Zook, professor at the Graduate School of Journalism at Columbia University in New York. As Ms. Brent Zook says, when black women disappear, the media's silence can be deafening. Joining us from Palmdale, California, Professor Crystal Brent Zook. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm outstanding. When black women disappear, the media silence can be deafening, huh?
Yes, it can. And listeners of media and consumers go along with that instead of wondering where are all these other, you know, missing children and adults. We just watch the same stories day after day, week after week, and just suck it up.
So talk to us about if we were to paint a picture or draw a picture of the face of the average missing person in America, what would that face look like?
The average missing adult is male, more likely to be male. They are all races, but they're disproportionately African American, according to the, you know, the actual population. They're all ages, which is really the most stunning thing I found in reporting this story. So many elderly people are missing, and, you know, it's largely because they have Alzheimer's and they wander off or they're sick. And if we devoted even just a fraction of the people power to searching for some of these elderly people, you know, the media has so much reach, and it's just the saddest thing to see. These people have homes and families, and they're not involved in drugs and that kind of thing. And a lot of news agencies say they don't want to cover prostitutes or people involved in drugs because it's not sympathetic. Well, okay, so you have an elderly person. How sympathetic is that? There's a black woman, 70 years old, who wandered off at Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport with her husband. Well, she wandered away from her husband while they were catching a connecting flight. Now, how heartbreaking is that? How sympathetic is that? I don't think you can get any more sympathetic than that.
And I think as you're talking, Professor, I think a lot of us, if we reflect on our own life experiences, we reconfigure about what we think about what missing is, because probably most of us have had at least heard a story about a loved one of someone that has gone missing, and particularly with our elderly that wander off.
Right.
And yet, and still, if you get to your immediate mental Rolodex about what missing looks like, the picture of Natalie Holloway comes up.
Right, right. You know, and there are cases, law enforcement will tell you, that have a better chance of finding the individual, and those are the ones that we, you know, the media really could make a difference. This particular woman, Margie Dabney, has a bracelet with her phone number on her. She, you know, the Texas Department of Public Safety is, well, on the case, that, you know, apparently, but she's been missing for over a year. No, I'm sorry, a few years, actually. But at the time of someone going missing, you have, you know, maybe 60 days. There's a good window when you can find them. And that's the time that we really need to be plastering the media, you know, sending the people out looking. You have a narrow space around an airport that's not very hard to blanket and find someone within 30 or 60 days. But that opportunity's gone now. I mean, it's been years.
And as a professor of journalism, can you talk to us about, is there such a thing as age bias within the media itself, and might that explain why there's a resistance to put the faces of older people on camera?
Definitely. There's age bias. They look at women that they feel are not as attractive, or, like I said, not as sympathetic. Women who have scars on their faces, missing teeth, you know, who just look like they've had a rough life, those women aren't pictured at all. And I would say another interesting little fact is a lot of these women who are missing have different kinds of tattoos and scars, and I'm not sure why that is, you know, but you'll notice that those aren't the women that are featured. Most of the news reports we see.
And you talk about one particular woman to underscore the moving on it quickly and how it makes a difference. You talked about the story of Janae Rice.
Right.
Could you tell the audience about her?
Janae Rice is a different case, though, because her child was missing as well.
Mm.
Her ex-boyfriend sort of kidnapped her and the baby. And because the child was missing, there are different there's different protocol in place. The Amber Alert is a wonderful, amazing tool that's been passed, you know, a law that actually helps us get on the case faster when a child is involved. So there was a high-speed chase. It was on the local news. It was all over the place because this baby was initially involved. Now, the man allowed her to give the baby back to the family members and then kept Janae hostage in a house. But, you know, she was eventually recovered. So it was the fact that her baby was involved that made the difference.
I'm looking at these photographs in this article that you've written for Essence Magazine, and you were talking earlier about how one of the factors that decides whether or not a face ends up in the major media as missing is attractiveness. These are beautiful young women.
Yes, they are. Beautiful women.
These are beautiful young women.
And, you know, I've heard investigators say, well, you have to have a story. You have to have something compelling.
Let's do a compare and contrast of Natalie Holloway. What's the compelling part of this if we live in a heavily judgmental society? An 18-year-old went out partying.
Right.
And didn't come home.
If you notice in the story, Daphne Jones of New Orleans, I mean, just beautiful woman.
Yes.
She's a student, was a student at the University of New Orleans, similar to a lot of these women.
22 years old.
22 years old. There is a story there. If anyone would bother to look at it, she was pregnant. She had told her boyfriend that she was pregnant and he didn't want the child. Her boyfriend apparently had some kind of political connections, although that's not in the art, that's not in the story, that's not in the space we had for that. But I would be interested as a reader, as a consumer of media, to know what his political connections are. He was the last one to be seen with her. He did not want the child. She was going to move back to Maryland to live with her mother and have the child anyway. So you have an interesting motive.
Pregnant woman.
Yes, and I'm not saying, I'm not law enforcement. I don't know about the investigation, but I'm saying as a consumer of media, I'm curious why she disappeared with a plane ticket in her hand. She was ready to leave in 6 days to have this baby.
And again, I'm just struck by the beauty of these women. She is a beautiful young woman. Latoya Natasha Thomas. Another beautiful young woman that's missing. And we seem to have, part of your article deals with the issue of oftentimes it's men that are involved in these young women's lives that are the catalyst, or at least that what appear to be the catalyst for this, for their missing, for their being missing.
Yes, and, you know, detectives will tell you that that's the first place. They look to the intimate partner, the boyfriend, the ex-boyfriend, the husband. You know, obviously that's the first suspect. We're a little limited in terms of what we can say and can't say legally mm-hmm. when someone hasn't been charged. But
with the exception of Holloway's mother and what she said about
exactly.
those young men.
Well, the mother can say it, but mm-hmm. as a journalist, me, with Essence Magazine, we're limited.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the families, you're right, the families of the women that I profiled here tell me everything about these men that their daughters were involved in. And so I'm getting a slightly different picture than what I can and can't print
mm-hmm.
legally. And the picture is not good. The picture is very grim. I mean, I've had aunts and grandmothers crying to me, telling me they know who did this.
Mm.
You know, a family knows. And the indications are, you know, they're just glaringly obvious because you'd have an ex-boyfriend who used to beat her.
Mm.
Well, you've got to suspect that. And he was the last one with her, you know?
And the story that you tell that just breaks your heart is the story that you lead with the description of Anthony Houston.
Right.
Talk to us about Anthony and his baby doll.
You know, when you lose a child to anything, it's a horrible experience, the death of a child. But I've covered a lot of death stories, and I found this one to be very, very different. It's not the same. They don't have a burial. They don't have a trial. They don't have any opportunity to, you know, give it closure. And so what happens is every day they wake up with hope. And it's a very different experience. This goes on for years and years. They never lose the hope. So they're always kind of in this limbo. Anthony Houston was having dreams where he would taste ammonia or something that he described as death. He didn't know what it was. And he would wake up saying, is it really possible to taste a dream? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a torture.
Oh, that is a torture.
And my image of him is just of a man driving and driving and driving into the night. I mean, that's all he did with his flyers, and he would follow every lead late at night. He would drive, you know, someone would say maybe they saw her over here or they saw her over there. And that's got to be the hardest thing, just, you know, never sleeping.
Well, we have to take a break, folks. I'm talking to Crystal Brent Zook, professor at the Graduate School of Journalism at Columbia University in New York. She's joining us from Palmdale, California, and we're talking about missing the missing. Who do we talk about? Who do we see? What photographs are we shown when someone goes missing? This is Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
There's a new world coming. This one's coming to an end.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Orkin Pest Control. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at State Line, an incident has been cleared and traffic is starting to thin out this hour. Westbound 70 at West Florissant, disabled vehicles on the exit ramps. Use caution as you approach that area. Eastbound 70 between 94 and the Blanchett Bridge, major road construction. Only the two left lanes are getting through. Traffic backs up approaching 94 all the way to 5th Street. Northbound 55 between Holly Hills and 44, no problems there. Board eastbound 44 from Antiron and Merrimack River Bridge, no problems there. Northbound 270 between 55 and 44, everything's on the move. Westbound 270 from Riverview to New Florissant Road, expect normal traffic this hour. And westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks Bridge all the way into Lindbergh looks good. And if we take a look at your approaches, eastbound 40 at Brentwood and Big Bend, look for slow traffic. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, you've got slow volume there as well. Your bridge approaches shape up like this. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge. That is returned back to normal. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Orkin Pest Control. Did you know mosquitoes don't live through the winter, but their eggs do? The Orkin Man knows. Call 1-800-ORKINMAN. For $30 off your first pest control service. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Breezy, chance of rain this morning. Chance of rain this afternoon with a high in around 80. For this evening, breezy, occasional rain with a low around 70. For Tuesday, breezy, occasional rain, high in the upper 70s. Tuesday evening, showers likely with a low in the upper 60s. The chance for rain on Tuesday evening is 70%, then that 70% chance of showers will move into Wednesday as showers are likely with a high around 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 78 degrees under overcast conditions. Lambert Field is reporting 75. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes, and after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I have the knowledge, and most importantly, the discipline, to make conscious, healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today.
Your computer can bring you the gospel voice of choice every weekend online at WGNU.net.
Science or religion? Republican or Democrat? Politics, education, crime? Or you just want to talk about Girl Scout cookies? What's your opinion? What's your solution? Tell me, Dave Linehan, on Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6.
I am a child.
I am an adult.
I am 10 years old.
I am 38 next week.
I'm in the fourth grade.
I sell financial planning services.
I found out that trees breathe, too.
I make PowerPoint presentations.
I play football every day at 3:30 after school.
I also have this incredible young friend.
I love my mom and my dad. And tomorrow, I get to see Rick. He's my friend, too.
I am a mentor to a young man named Marquis.
Volunteer to help a young child do better in school. Mentor St. Louis, the largest volunteer organization in the St. Louis public schools, needs volunteer mentors. Go to mentorstlouis.org or call 314-531-2570 and let something wonderful happen.
Rick and me are going to the zoo tomorrow.
Marquis always wants to see the monkeys.
They're not monkeys. They're apes. Monkeys have tails.
Next, on Mondays at 9, the hundreds of bodies discovered in Iraq over the past 6 months may be the work of a secret death squad brigade composed of Iraqi soldiers trained in such tactics by the American military. This was the same tactic used by the Contras in El Salvador during the insurrection there while the Reagan administration was in power. Is there a connection between the two? What type of democracy are we exporting? A look at this story with Christy Pardue, Communications Director for School of the Americas Watch, on the next edition of Mondays at 9. Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
We don't need.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My website is Liz Brown, LizBrown.com, and you can email me at Liz Brown, or revolution@LizBrown.com. That's revolution@LizBrown.com. And don't forget, you can always pick up a copy of the show because they're archived daily at thewhiterosesociety.org. This morning we're talking about when someone goes missing, who catches the eye of and the attention of the major media? What does that person look like? And our guest this morning to discuss that is Professor Crystal Brent Zook, professor at the Graduate School of Journalism at Columbia University in New York. She is joining us this morning in the early morning hours of Palmdale, California. Professor, welcome back.
Thank you.
When television stations make the decision, or the major media make a decision about whose face that they're going to put out there, why don't they choose the faces of men? Is there an explanation given for that?
Well, I think it is a part of this deeply cultural, perspective that we have of the fairy tale white damsel in distress who's a woman. She's helpless. She's trapped in the tower. She needs a strong man to rescue her. You know, we really do live by myths, old myths, in our consciousness that appeal to us, and I think that that just doesn't fit, you know, the kind of story, the kind of narrative we really want to hear in terms of, now this is very important to understand, in terms of entertainment. Mm.
So when the MSNBC's vice president of news, Mark Efron, says what makes the news is the unexpected, he says that he maintains that Natalie Holloway, the young woman in Aruba, what makes her her disappearance during a chaperone trip is unusual and would be heavily covered regardless of gender or ethnicity.
No, because there are too many unusual stories out there that aren't getting coverage. I mean, the facts just don't add up. You know, and I'm not saying that it's a conscious decision. I think the way myths work in terms of our subconscious is on a very deep level. And they're choosing these stories because if you show a picture of a man who's missing, it doesn't resonate culturally in the same way with us. And a black man even less so, because there's all kinds of cultural narratives in our head saying, well, he was probably involved in some kind of mess anyway. You know, I mean, that's the dominant mainstream perception of that black man, I'm saying. So it doesn't trigger the same kind of sympathy. There are too many interesting, surprising, strange stories out there to only be seeing one kind of narrative. It doesn't make sense.
And when I was just thinking as you were talking, we live in a society that is comfortable of showing the face of poverty as a young, as a child, an African child with a distended belly, comfortable in seeing that image, but not comfortable in taking that familiarity with that face and putting that face as the face of what a missing child looks like.
Right, right. You know, and class plays out in other interesting ways because it's not just the poor. There are black professional women who are missing. Di Michelle Cullens, who's in the Essence story, had just gotten her real estate license. She was doing well. She, you know, had gotten into some kind of disagreement with some man, we think, over a loan, over money. These are also the kind of stories that I think people aren't used to in terms of the mainstream. They're not used to seeing a professional black woman. They're not sure what to think about it, you know. They're not sure if they should be sympathetic with her, if they can relate to her. So there's a lot of other things going on, and I'll give you a great example. When I was doing this research, we couldn't include everyone, but I found a woman who was missing in the 80s. She's still missing. But she was 39 at the time of her disappearance, and she happened to be the first African-American woman to graduate as a lieutenant in Maryland's National Guard. So she, you know, had some interesting background to her. She was writing a book at the time, and her companion, who was a man, said that she was on her way to London to go write this book. Okay, well, you have a mystery here. She never applied for a passport.
Mm.
She didn't pick up her paycheck. She just disappeared. She didn't get on any plane to London. What happened? You know, and she was a beautiful 39-year-old woman. There was not even local coverage in Maryland.
I'm looking at a story, Professor, a story of a little girl that was missing. I think they called her Precious. And they finally found break in the case. A beheaded little girl. Her name was Precious Doe. Police ignored. This is in the Kansas City paper on June 5th, 05. The police acknowledged that the detectives returned only one of 50 calls made to them by a tipster, who led an eventual break in the case of the story. They only returned one of those 50 calls, mm-hmm. And yet and still we have people from CNN or people talking about how race does not play into the decision making of who gets put on the television cameras, and it does.
It does. It does. Excuse me. And they also will admit, the honest law enforcement officials will tell you that media makes a difference. You know, they'll press harder on a case when there's pressure.
Mm. And so one of the things that I also noticed in the story that you wrote in Essence magazine, because men and women and their personal relationships appear to factor into the missingness of these women, there are things that women should be doing.
Yes. I think the most important thing that I wish people would understand is that the larger picture is you're not watching news, first of all. You're watching entertainment, for the most part. That's why you're getting these kinds of stories. They're intended to be entertaining. If we really were watching news, we would be talking seriously about domestic violence. See, it's a whole different picture that needs to be painted. We would be talking about women who are in danger, largely at the hands of men. And I know that's a generalization, but that is the largest risk. You're not going to be abducted by a stranger statistically. Chances are you're going to get into trouble by associating with someone, by becoming intimate with someone who isn't trustworthy.
And we have to hold that thought. We have to take a break. I'm talking to Professor Crystal Brent Zook. She's a professor at the Graduate School of Journalism at Columbia University in New York. She's joining us this morning from Palmdale, California. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. We'll be back after this break. Stay with us.
Speechless. See, I don't know what to say.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline London. The Fox News Channel is taking heat from the British government over some comments made by one of the network's leading journalists after the bombings in London last week. Reporter Britt Hume made an offhanded remark as follows. I saw the futures this morning, which were really in the tank, and I thought, now's the time to buy. Another host, Brian Kilmeade, said he thought the bombings worked to the Western world's advantage, having them happen just 500 miles from where such attacks are an everyday occurrence. And yet another Fox host, John Gibson, said, I thought the Brits should let the French have the Olympics. The terrorists would blow up Paris, and who cares about that? So far, there's been no official statement from Fox News. A British official calls the comments sickening. Meanwhile, the news channel's so-called expert on counterterrorism has gone on record predicting that there will be a terrorist strike in the United States within the next 90 days. He also offers survival tips like this. Carry a bottle of water and a towel with you. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Tuesday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. United Airlines wants to slash legacy costs by cutting retirees' payments by up to half. A bill is in Congress that would place a six-month freeze on corporations dumping their pension plans on the government. If United gets away with this idea, you can be sure other companies will try it too. How could United be allowed to underfund its pension for years and then have nothing left for the workers? An examination of this issue with Beth Almeida, economist with the International Association of Machinists, Tuesday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Is it true?
Yes, the minimum wage in Illinois is now $6.50 an hour.
Wow, that is wonderful news.
This is really going to help me support my family.
Me too. This means thousands more each year to help me buy groceries, buy my kids' clothes, and pay the bills.
The minimum wage in Illinois is $6.50 an hour. It's the law. If you're not being paid $6.50 an hour for minimum wage work, call the Illinois Department of Labor at 312-793-2804. Brought to you by the Illinois Department of Labor and this station.
Points, rulers, points among princes. Tune in every Saturday from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. The show called Roster Resolutions, only on Radio Free St. Louis, 920 on AM dial WGNU. Also on the net at WGNU.net. 2 hours of classical roots reggae for the prophecies are told through musical instruments. Roster Resolutions.
They play jazz in heaven. In New Orleans, we know they do.
If your family hasn't been to New Orleans, y'all haven't lived.
Visit NewOrleansOnline.com to plan your trip to Six Flags New Orleans, Audubon Zoo, Aquarium of the Americas, and more. Hop on the new Canal streetcar line, see gators up close, and roll in a riverboat down the mighty Mississippi. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com today for great hotel rates and a free Good Times guide with more than $2,400 in coupons. And jazz up your family's next vacation in New Orleans.
You know, if there's a paradise, it's an afternoon in Jackson Square. Cause if they play jazz in heaven, darling, it's standing room only up there.
NewOrleansOnline.com, happening every day.
Next on Mondays at 9, the hundreds of bodies discovered in Iraq over the past 6 months may be the work of a secret death squad brigade composed of Iraqi soldiers trained in such tactics by the American military. This was the same tactic used by the Contras in El Salvador during the insurrection there while the Reagan administration was in power. Is there a connection between the two? What type of democracy are we exporting? A look at this story with Christy Pardue, Communications Director for School of the Americas Watch, on the next edition of Mondays at 9. Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
I got something I want to talk about. Y'all let me hear. There's just so much confusion going down. I'm not the kind to be complaining. But sometimes you got to stand out from the crowd.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I am talking this morning to Professor Crystal Brent Zook, professor at the Graduate School of Journalism at Columbia University in New York. She's joining us this morning from Palmdale, California. She is the author of an article that appears in this month's Essence magazine entitled Have You Seen Her? And Professor, we, on our way out, we were talking about how men factor into the reality of it is men factor into the disappearance of young women.
Yes, they do. You know, we tell in the article, we tell women to look carefully at the men that they're with and the men they give their trust to. Do they have a problem with jealousy? Do they have a problem with anger? Are they controlling? These are really important questions. And
you ask, do you really know him?
Right. And when a woman breaks up with a man or tries to divorce a man, her risk increases exponentially. That's the time when you really have to be careful.
And is there something also to be said, Professor, about the struggle with parents to let their daughter be an adult and the struggle to really intervene in these situations?
A lot of the parents I spoke with and the grandparents and the aunts were worried about their daughters, but they were sort of unable to make a difference. You know, they may have expressed some concern, but women, especially black women, can be willful and strong-minded, you know, and want to stand by their man and, you know, want to see it through and make it work. And that's a really difficult question. I think the most important thing is to, if you're a parent or, you know, a relative, to be aware of the situation, even if you can't intervene directly, just to be aware, where is your daughter? Have you seen her lately? You know, Tamika Houston was missing actually for, there's a window of maybe 2 weeks before they realized that she was actually missing. And it's not because her family didn't care or they weren't close to her. They just were letting her be independent and live her life. But knowing that she's involved with someone who may not be, you know, the most reliable person, you want to keep an eye on people you're close to.
And then also the piece about the story of Tamika is the secrets that she kept, too.
Oh, yeah. She had quite a few secrets.
And that her parents did not, they had no idea about her relationships, with,
right.
particularly with one man.
Yes, and, you know, the other time when risk increases statistically is if a woman becomes pregnant. And that's important to say because it's possible that Tamika was pregnant at the time. Not able to confirm that, but, you know, statistically, if she tries to leave or if she becomes pregnant and the pregnancy is unwanted by a man, there's a real risk of violence.
And so what are some of the things, because you mentioned them in your article, about what people are supposed to do, because you said several times during our conversation this morning that there's a window of opportunity, of time. And so what do you recommend that people do? What advice do you give people?
Well, Tamika Houston's aunt works in public relations, which is the sad thing. She's a trained executive who knows how to do press releases, and she was on the case. She set up a website. She held a press conference. The media ignored her case for 3 weeks and jumped right on the case of Lori Hacking, who went missing, you know, 3 weeks after Tamika. So I don't want to say that doing all those things will get you coverage because, mm-hmm. you know, it doesn't necessarily in the case of black women, but those things are important to do and to know how to do. You, you know, you do have to connect with organizations that can help you put together a press release and a website, and they're out there. The National Center for Missing Adults is the main organization, and there's all kinds of links from there. But you sort of have to be media savvy, sadly, and understand that you have to be able to tell the story of your child or your missing loved one in a way that's compelling. And you have to be able to have pictures and video footage, and this is what the media wants, to, you know, to pick up the story. So it's sad that they won't just pick it up on its own merits, but this is the age we live in.
And there are places out there that will help you create a website. There are places out there that will help you as you go through the emotional loss that you're going through.
Definitely. I would say the first place is to go to the National Center for Missing Adults and Missing Children, and from there you can connect to everywhere else. I mean, that's sort of the clearinghouse. They post pictures of missing people, and they can help.
And when I went to that website, the National Center for Missing Adults, it's stunning when you see all of these faces. It's heartbreaking to see, and these aren't all of the people that are missing in the United States.
Right.
About how many people go missing a year?
You know, I think that figure, well, it's definitely in the thousands, maybe. I'm not exactly sure offhand, but of those people, at least anywhere between a third or a fifth are African-American.
Let me get to a caller or two. Dimitri, you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes, I have a question for your guest. In this mix of missing people, have you come across any hint of the fact that high-profile people, or not high-profile people, but people who are politically active, suddenly disappear, and it's hard to understand that if someone is writing a book about the government and so forth, that it's convenient for the government for them that book not to be published. Is there, is there a link between all these missing people and some of the missing people being merged into this activity? And that is something like Argentina, where so many people were made missing by the government. I'll hang up and listen to your comment.
Is there a political connection when you were looking into this?
Well, it's an interesting question because the woman that I referred to in Maryland who was writing the book, you know, we just don't know, and I guess we'll never know because unless someone really looked into that particular case, but there was no media coverage, and the case didn't get the attention that it should have. So, you know, I would like to know. That's a very good question. What kind of book was she writing? You know, they say that the story has to be compelling and interesting. I'm interested in hearing about that one.
And insofar as hope for any change. Do you see anything out there that gives you pause or gives you reason to expect that the media coverage, the way that it is today, is going to change any time in the future?
No, unfortunately, I don't. I'm very troubled by the way we consume media, and I, you know, put the blame on the consumers as well, because we tend to just accept what they give us instead of asking hard questions, instead of looking for serious analysis. Like I said, the analysis would be to look at, you know, the real numbers. Why are people really missing? And to do some kind of report that deals with issues like illnesses that, you know, where people wander off, like Alzheimer's, or domestic violence, which is a major cause, instead of telling these isolated individual stories.
I want to thank you very much. Professor Crystal Brent-Zook, professor at the Graduate School of Journalism at Columbia University in New York, thank you so much for getting up so early to join us on the Wake Up Call.
Thank you.
Take care. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. When we come back, Mondays at 9, and we're going to talk about death squads in Iraq. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember that. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is...
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. In London, there are now at least 52 victims from last week's bomb attacks in the subway and aboard a bus. Scotland Yard has identified the first of the victims, a 53-year-old woman who lived in a London suburb. A few sections of the underground are still closed, but commuters tried to get back to normal this morning. ABC's Aaron Kuchersky in London says that's not an easy task.
This country right now is on its highest ever terror alert. Officials have warned of more attacks unless the bombers are soon caught. And the jitters here were apparent when buildings that make up the heart of the British government were evacuated because of a suspicious package. The all-clear was given about an hour later.
President Bush heads to the FBI Training Academy at Quantico, Virginia this morning to deliver a speech on terror. ABC's Ann Compton reports from the White House.
The wake-up call in London has President Bush warning Americans and the world that the war on terrorism is a long one. He delivers that message this morning at the training academy where the next generation of FBI agents is being groomed for terrorism investigations.
The speech was already scheduled before last week's bomb attacks. Couple of developments in Afghanistan. A major search is underway for four militants who escaped from the detention facility at Bagram Air Base. And the U.S. military has found the body of the 4th Navy Commando, part of the team attacked by Taliban loyalists. One of the SEALs was rescued. Tropical Depression Dennis is heading northwest through Mississippi, bringing rain all the way into the Carolinas. Dennis started as a hurricane, battering the Florida panhandle with 120-mile-an-hour winds. Here's FEMA Director Mike Brown.
I think what we're going to find this morning is we're going to have very catastrophic devastation on a very localized area.
Governor Jeb Bush plans to tour the hurricane zone later this morning. This is ABC News.
Have a bewitching summer at Super 8 and get $250 in discount coupons with every stay. Enter the Stay a Spell sweepstakes and you'll have a chance to win 1,000,000 trip rewards points. Or play our online game and you could be one of 600 winners of $100 worth of gas. The Super 8 Stay a Spell sweepstakes. It could turn you into a winner. See Bewitched in theaters soon and we'll see you along the way. No purchase necessary. Legal residence 18 or older. Ends 9/15. Subject to rules at Super8.com.
You've heard it's all about the O. Well, what does that mean? It means you have one place to go for a luxurious lifestyle. Overstock.com offers the web's best deals on designer fashions, books, music, sporting goods, bedding, assisted living products, all up to 70% off. Plus, affordable vacation packages and an auction department with hard-to-find one-of-a-kind items. Live operators 24/7, and it's $2.95 shipping on every order. Simple, safe, and easy. Overstock.com.
The summer box office was jolted out of its slump over the weekend. Here's ABC's Bill Deal.
A new day is dawning. The day of the Fantastic Four.
Fantastic Four, based on Marvel comic book characters, had a better-than-expected debut. Much better, in fact, taking in $56 million on its opening weekend. Fantastic enough to snap Hollywood's 19-week losing streak. Earnings for the top 12 films up about 2% from the same weekend last year. Box office tracker Paul DeGarabedian of Exhibitor Relations says it took four superheroes to end the slump. War of the Worlds slipped to second place, $31 million, followed by Batman Begins, Dark Water, and Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Bill Deal, ABC News.
The female panda at the National Zoo in Washington will be out of public view for the next several months, along with her cub born over the weekend. Zookeepers there haven't said, and maybe they're not quite sure yet, whether it's a male or a female cub. I'm Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 4 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's news, traffic, and weather. This hour's news is sponsored by Heritage for the Blind. In the news in your 9 o'clock hour, the man accused of killing a Kirkwood police officer will make his first court appearance today. 19-year-old Kevin Johnson is scheduled to be arraigned this morning on several charges, including first-degree murder and the shooting death of Sergeant William McEntee. Johnson was captured late Friday afternoon at a North County apartment complex after an intensive manhunt. A drowning in the Metro East over the weekend is being investigated. Police say Stephen Christopher Elsinger drowned Saturday afternoon in a swimming pool in his stepbrother's residence outside of Edwardsville. Elsinger reportedly suffered from physical impairments and walked with a cane. Investigators say Elsinger's disability may have contributed to his death. He wasn't wearing a flotation device. A man is dead after falling from a bluff in Jefferson County. Authorities say a 19-year-old was with a group of people at a bluff yesterday morning near Sulphur Springs when he slipped and fell into a quarry. The man's name has not been released as of yet. And a North County neighborhood has a new Catholic parish. Yesterday, Archbishop Raymond Burke presided over the opening of Mass for Holy Name in Jesus in Bellefontaine Neighbors. The parish is a consolidation of St. Jerome, Our Lady of Good Counsel, St. Catherine of Alexandria, St. Pius, and Corpus Christi. Holy Name of Jesus is housed out of the former St. Jerome's site in Bellefontaine Neighbors. This is a result of the Archdiocese reorganization of several area parishes and schools in Northeast and South City deaneries. This hour's news has been sponsored by Heritage for the Blind. Don't sell it, don't trade it. Call 1-800-2-DONATE and donate your car to Heritage for the Blind. Call 1-800-2-DONATE for hassle-free pickup. That's 1-800-2-DONATE, or you can visit 1-800, or you can visit taxdeduction.com for more details. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. Now let's take a look at your WGNU forecast, or your GNU traffic. This hour, WGNU traffic is sponsored by Chrysler Summer Sales Drive. Westbound 70 at West Forest, there's a disabled vehicle on the exit ramp. Eastbound 270 between McDonald and Lindbergh, look for a broken water main. No lanes are affected at this hour. Northbound 170 at National Bridge, a disabled vehicle blocking the traffic lane. Eastbound 70 between 94 and the Blanchette Bridge, look for major road constructions. Only the two left lanes are getting through, and traffic is backed up approaching 94 at 5th Street. Northbound 55 between Bayless and Arsenal, everything is on the move. Eastbound 44 between 141 and 270, no problems to report there as well. Northbound 270 between Tesson Ferry and Big Bend, everything seems to be moving well at this hour. Westbound 270 from Lilac to Graham Hanley, no problems there. Westbound 255 from Coke to 55, expect normal traffic. Westbound 40 between Big Bend and Hanley, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 between Brentwood and Big Bend, look for slow traffic as well. And your bridge approaches look like this. Westbound 5570 at Poplar Street, everything's on the move. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the 5570 split to Laclede's Landing, no problems there. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Chrysler Summer Sales Drive. There's never been a better time to get to your Chrysler dealer than right now during the Summer Sales Drive, where you can get big cash allowances or low financing on some of Chrysler's best products. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Breezy, chance of rain this morning and this afternoon. Isolated thunderstorms are possible this afternoon. The high should be around 80. For this evening, breezy, occasional rain with a low around 70. For Tuesday, look for breezy conditions, occasional rain, a high in the upper 70s. Tuesday evening, look forward to showers likely, low in the upper 60s. The chance for rain on Tuesday evening is 70%, and that chance will continue on Wednesday as showers are likely with a high around 80. Currently, the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 77 degrees under overcast skies. Lambert Fields reporting 75. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's Mondays at 9. That's up next following this edition of The Healthy Family. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Healthy Family, presented by the Missouri Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse, reminding you to keep alcohol out of the hands of kids. Learn more at MissouriPrevention.org.
As gambling becomes more available in society, compulsive gambling becomes more of an issue. The American Psychiatric Association says there are a set of behaviors that point to a gambling disorder. They include preoccupation with gambling-related thoughts, plans, or activities, restlessness or irritability when trying to cut down or stop gambling, gambling to escape from problems or relieve feelings of helplessness, anxiety, guilt, or depression, jeopardizing or losing a significant relationship or job because of gambling, lying to conceal gambling activities, committing illegal acts to finance gambling, making repeated unsuccessful attempts to curb or stop gambling. Compulsive gambling shares traits with many other addictions, and treatment is similar. Go to www.psych.org for more information. I'm Julie Anderson with The Healthy Family.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
I think
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world and how they affect us. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome to this week's edition of Mondays at 9. You can always reach us at thewhiterosesociety.org. You can pick up an hour. The show is archived daily. Hourly at thewhiterosesociety.org. So if you missed an hour, you can go get an hour, and you can catch some other progressive liberal talk show hosts is there as well. And if you want to reach us, the number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. Know this, that we are broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. And you can check out my latest column in the section of my website called Through Brown Eyes at lizbrown.com. That's LIZZBROWN.com. So check out my column at Through Brown Eyes. The column is entitled Lightning Strikes Twice. Let me know what you think about it. This morning, we're going to be talking about how lightning strikes in Iraq. Operation Lightning is in Iraq. And the question is, do we have death squads in Iraq? Are there similarities in our dirty little war that we have going on in Iraq, similarities between what happened in El Salvador, San Salvador, the Salvador option, to talk about the death squads in Iraq. We have the communications coordinator at School of America's Watch, Christy Pardue, joining us from Oakland, California. Christy Pardue, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing good, thanks.
Very good. Death squads in Iraq. Let's talk about that. Can we first talk about, can we make a connection between what's going on in Iraq and what is going on in Central America?
Well, I think we can see a lot of similarities, and certainly a lot of us felt a groan on the inside when we heard those words back in January with a Newsweek article that came out questioning whether the Pentagon was developing a policy of implementing death squads in Iraq.
So the Salvador solution or operation is what they were calling it.
Right, the Salvador option. An article by Michael Hirsch and John Barry came out in January of this year, citing a source as a senior military official, saying that the U.S. was considering implementing a policy of death squad-like forces that would be led by U.S. special forces in Iraq to target particular insurgent leaders, and basically to frighten the civilian population.
Well, let's go back and do the comparison. This type of thing was happening in El Salvador.
Right, yes. We saw the death squads operated particularly in El Salvador. We also saw them in other countries throughout Central America. In El Salvador, the person who's known as the kind of father of the death squads is Roberto Dabusan, and he was a graduate of the School of the Americas. The School of the Americas is a military training facility for Latin Americans that's located here in the United States. It's at Fort Benning, Georgia, where just about 60,000 or a little over 60,000 Latin American security forces have been trained in anything ranging from counterinsurgency techniques to sniper training to commando tactics to psychological warfare. And Roberto Dabusan is a graduate of the school, returned to his own country, and instituted a policy of targeting civilians through the use of terror with these death squads. I think that a lot of the death squads went into the war with the mentality that they can scare the civilian population more than they can make them more scared of the military than they can make them scared of the guerrillas. So force them to choose sides that way. And I think that's certainly a policy that we could see developing in Iraq. This report in January came out after the siege of Fallujah, where the U.S. clearly suffered a lot more losses than they had intended, and gritted their teeth through a terrible, drawn-out battle. And I think that that's what they were looking for. They needed to win the fear or win the loyalty of the civilian population, and how could they do that?
Mm. And one of the ways that that the U.S. government, one of the programs that the U.S. government implemented post-Fallujah was Operation Lightning. Can you talk to us about that?
Can you explain to me a little bit more about it? I'm not sure if I'm familiar with it by the name.
Operation Lightning is the program where they have the Wolf Brigade. And this was a program that was the person in charge of it was James Steele.
Yes. Well, that, you know, they're scary how many connections there are between what went on, the U.S.'s role throughout Central America, and what's going on today in Iraq. And just we've seen the Bush administration either continuing to ignore history or looking back and learning the wrong lessons from history.
Or looking back and liking what they see and the bad parts of history and wanting to replicate that. That's a third option.
Exactly.
So talk to us about James Steele. Who was James Steele?
Well, James Steele cut his teeth in Central America under the Reagan administration in the 1980s. And, you know, we see there's several key figures that we see operating in Iraq today who were working in Central America in the 1980s, and one of them is John Negroponte. It's kind of a glaring example of, I mean, he's not directly in Iraq today, but he has had a big role in the current U.S. invasion of Iraq. Negroponte was the ambassador to Honduras under Reagan and was then serving as the U.S. ambassador to Iraq. And during the time of Fallujah and when this report came out about the Salvador option, Negroponte had a very heavy hand in the role of the U.S. role in Iraq. So we see several key figures coming back, like James Steele and John Negroponte, who kind of cut their teeth during Central America, during the U.S.'s role in wars in Central America, and are now showing back up in creating policy in Iraq.
And when we talk about somebody creating policy, it's not simply a title. James Steele is the senior U.S. advisor in the Ministry of Interior, and that's a big deal.
Yep.
I mean, that makes him in charge of how things are done.
Yep.
So can you talk to us about when we look back at El Salvador and we look back at the human rights abuses that took place, and when we look back at the terror that was inflicted by these death squads, walk us through some of the examples of that.
Well,
so we can see what is being brought to Iraq.
Right. The overriding characteristic that we saw in death squads is the targeting of civilian populations. And basically a policy of we can protect you from the guerrillas if communities were looking for protection, but no one can protect you from us. And so you need to choose your sides, and we have more guns and we have more weapons. And we saw communities being completely wiped out in El Salvador. Several different places where entire villages were destroyed, were burned to the ground, and men, women, and children were massacred. There were thousands and thousands of civilians killed during El Salvador's civil war for no reason, no military reason, no tactical reason, except striking terror and fear in the heart of the civilian population.
When we see the civilian response to death squads in El Salvador and the civilian response to these same types of practices, these same types of death squad activities in Iraq, do we see a different a civilian response in Iraq than we did in El Salvador?
Well, I think one of the differences is that one of the aspects of the Salvador option that the Newsweek reporters wrote about in January is that the U.S. would be changing a policy and then beginning to rely more on locally trained militia, death squad, paramilitary units.
As if perhaps to distance themselves from what is happening?
I think so. And then I think also to take the light of scrutiny off themselves. Like they're taking this role of terrorizing the civilian population out of their hands and putting it in the hands of the local people.
But isn't that what the School of Americas is?
That's exactly. We see so many parallels between the kind of policy that created an institution like the School of the Americas. You know, after the Vietnam War, the U.S. administrations over the years knew that they couldn't bloody themselves in that way again, that the civilians in the United States wouldn't stand for it. And we began to see more and more of a policy of training these training forces from local countries that would go in and do the bidding of the United States, of the current U.S. administration. And so we saw many soldiers from places, hotspots in Central America, where wars that specifically targeted civilian populations were happening. So, for instance, during the very bloody years of the Salvadoran Civil War, we saw a huge upsurge in Salvadoran soldiers being trained at the School of the Americas. And we also know that places like the School of the Americas, and there are close to 250 training facilities in the United States where the U.S. government trains foreign security forces.
How many?
Almost 250, according to Amnesty International.
Other than at Fort Bragg?
Other than at Fort Benning, right.
I'm sorry, Fort Benning.
Right, and so there's places all over the U.S. where foreign militaries are receiving training, and none of them are facing the kind of scrutiny that the School of the Americas is, and that's simply because of a grassroots movement that has been working to close it down for 15 years.
So getting back to Iraq and getting back to the distancing that this government is engaging into with the Salvador option, what is happening in Iraq with the training? So how is it being done?
Well, that's part of the scary part is that we don't know. It's really hard to find out what's going on. You know, this article came out in January of this year. We heard, I think Donald Rumsfeld denied it in about a half of a sentence at a press conference, and that was it. It was dropped. It was not picked up again by the media until May of this year when a New York Times article, and it was not directly picking up on this story, but a New York Times Magazine article by I can't remember who wrote that, but in May of this year, talked about what you brought up with James Steele being in Iraq, with Negroponte's role in Iraq, and making the connections between some of the issues that are occurring in Iraq and what was going on in El Salvador in the Central America in the 1980s. But we have very little information coming out of Iraq right now. We see examples of places like Fallujah, where it certainly seems like the civilian population was terrorized. But, you know, it may be years before we know what's really happening with training there, and are there these death squad kind of groups moving around the country? Is that how they're targeting people for rendition and imprisonment? We certainly know that the U.S. government is imprisoning hundreds of thousands of people in Iraq right now. You know, are these people being targeted by death squads to be taken away to prisons?
Well, we had an article by Yasser Salahi that came out in the Philadelphia Inquirer, and also he was a co-reporter with a couple of stories. He's a night writer. He was making their article was talking about how these bodies were turning up in the morgue, bodies that had been killed with a bullet to the head or their hands bound behind their back. And these are bodies that appeared to be targeted. These are targeted bodies, and he wrote an article about it, and about 4 days or so after his last article of about three that he had written about this, Yasser Salahi turns up dead. So do we have also going on in Iraq reporters that are not living to tell the tale about it?
Well, that is certainly a pattern that we saw throughout Central America, and it's really scary.
Talk to us about what went on in Central America with people that were trying to tell the story about what was happening.
Well, what we saw was a consistent pattern of people who were even taking the most basic steps to speak out for justice being targeted for killing. So numerous nuns, priests, including the Archbishop of El Salvador, Oscar Romero, who had just days earlier spoken out to the men of the military asking them, please do not kill your own brothers. We are all one people here. Massacred while he was performing mass, just days after he gave that address, massacred by people who were trained at the School of the Americas here in the United States. We saw nuns who were educating the poor being tortured, raped, and murdered. People who were trying to organize in their communities to grow more food and to feed everyone being targeted and murdered as guerrilla sympathizers. And this was a consistent pattern for a decade in El Salvador, at least. And I think the scary thing is that the United States has never really been held accountable, either in a legal sense or even in a public sense, for their role in the massacre of so many civilians and in the training of forces that were specifically targeting civilians in their role in war crimes, essentially, in El Salvador's civil war. And not a pattern that we want to see happening again in Iraq.
Well, I was listening today, or I was reading today, about anniversary types of events that are ceremonial events that are marking what happened to the Bosnians and calling it Europe's greatest genocide outside of World War II. Does what happened in El Salvador get that kind of attention? Because surely at least 5,000 people were massacred and killed off and murdered in that bloody war.
Well, there are commemorations that happen every year in El Salvador, specifically around the anniversary of the murder of Archbishop Oscar Romero, which was in March. There was just a huge 25-year anniversary this year on the date of his massacre. And really, it's on the date of his massacre, but it's really a remembrance of all the suffering and all the lives given during that civil war.
But you understand my point about the attention of the world and the assessment of the world about what happened in El Salvador,
right,
as opposed to what happened in Europe with the Bosnians. There's a different way that the world views that. Isn't there?
Yes, I agree. And I think that it has a lot to do with the U.S. government kind of creating the history around that and creating the stories that get told about it. And it's, many historians write about it as a success of the U.S. government, that they managed to wipe out communism in this country. But that's not really an honest assessment. Is it a success when thousands and thousands of civilians are killed, when entire communities are wiped out? And today, the government that's in power is the ARENA government that was founded by Roberto Dabassan, who was the death squad leader. So he's still in a very influential role in his own country.
So we get them.
And highly supported by the United States government and essentially doing their bidding. They're the one country in Central America that has troops in Iraq. They're very in support of the U.S.'s trade agreements. Have been at the bidding of the U.S. government over the past several administrations.
We're going to take a break, folks. I'm talking to Christy Pardue, Communications Coordinator at the School of America's Watch. She's joining us from Oakland, California. This is Mondays at 9. I'm Liz Brown. We're talking about death squads in Iraq. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Waiting for your calls at WGNU. From the local calling area, just dial 314-454-0400. If you're calling long distance, the toll-free number is 1-877-920-WGNU. If you are calling long distance from a car phone or want to use a particular name on the air, please let us know when you call. Get into Talk Radio with a Difference. That's Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
Are you looking to get your transmission fixed? Well, take it on over to Roy's Transmission, where you get great quality, great price, and great service. Some transmission shops will tell you have to tear your transmission down to fix it. No, you don't. Take it on over to Roy's, and he will hook your transmission up, run a diagnostic on it, and tell you what's wrong with it and how much it will cost to fix it. Roy's Transmission, 5524 Riverview. That's 5524 Riverview. Or give him a call at 383-2019. 383-2019. Roy's Transmission.
This is the sound of an AK-47 being fired at you. This is the sound of a rocket-propelled grenade headed your way. This is the sound of a bullet ricocheting off your helmet. This is the sound of an anti-personnel landmine exploding underneath you. This is the sound of a car bomb exploding less than a block away. And this?
If these people don't want George W. Bush to be president,
that's the sound of people who have never heard these sounds arguing about something they know absolutely nothing about. Maybe we should start listening to the people who were there. Go to optruth.org. to find out how you can really help support our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. Operation Truth. We were there.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Mondays at 9. I'm talking to Christy Pardue, Communications Coordinator at the School of America's Watch. She's joining us from Oakland, California, and we're talking about death squads in Iraq. Christy, when we talk about the Times Magazine article that came out first mentioning the Salvador option in Iraq, the media didn't really, as the kids say, trip on that at all, did they?
No, there was very few bites on that at all. There was one follow-up article in Newsweek where the original story came out, and that was about it. We didn't hear too much more about it.
Do you think that... when we go back to the 80s and look at what was happening in El Salvador, the deaths and our participation in it, and the lack of interest in exposing that by the media, the argument can be made, well, back in the 80s, we had a different type of media that was more free to explore these stories than we do in 2005. How much does the fact that we are not hearing about what's going on in Iraq, the questioning what's going on in Iraq, making the connection between El Salvador and what's going on in Iraq, how much can we blame that on the media or America doesn't care about what we do to other people in other countries?
Well, you know, I really believe that when people find out the truth, when people in this country find out the truth about what's going on in Iraq, that they will be opposed to the kind of targeting of civilians that we're talking about on this show today. I think it goes against core American values, and I think it's easy for most people to hear stories like this and to know that it's inherently wrong. But I think just that's a great point that you brought up, that since the war in El Salvador, that there's been so much media conglomeration in this country that it's harder and harder for the truth to get out from an independent source.
Mm-hmm.
I think people need to turn to alternatives to get their news, as well as the mainstream news coverage, need to just broaden where they're receiving their news. But it's harder and harder to get the news about what's coming out from Iraq these days. There are several blogs of people that are in Iraq that are posting things on the internet, but very little coverage that's not coming from embedded reporters, so to speak.
And the corresponding story, Christy, is what we kind of mentioned in the last break, is the story of the people that are not part of, the journalists that are not part of the embedded media and their disappearance.
Right. You know, there have been so many journalists killed in Iraq, specifically European journalists killed in Iraq since the war began. And I know there's been real outrage there among the way that journalists appear to, have not been targeted, at least have not been protected the way that they should be there and allowed to do their job. And you wonder the kind of fear that creates among journalists who want to cover a story, but maybe don't feel that they can leave the safety of working with an American military unit. And then how does that influence the kind of stories that are coming out?
Yasser Salehi, who I talked about in the last hour, he was killed by a single bullet to the head when he was driving to take his get gas to take his kids to his child to a swimming pool, and it was an American bullet. So, I mean, what kind of impact does that have on what kind of story a journalist is going to be willing to tell?
Right, and here's someone who has just spoken out, mm-hmm. written the truth about what's going on, and said kill with a bullet to the back of the head.
So in terms of the impact of the actions that are going on at the School of the Americas, one would think that our government would be a little resistant or a little shamed or a little change their way of doing things, because there has been a whole lot of attention on the School of America's training people to go and terrorize and kill in their countries. But we still see it happening in Iraq.
Right. Well, I think the way that we've seen the U.S. government respond to the pressure and the public light of scrutiny that's been put on the School of the Americas can be really indicative of the way that we see them respond to issues in Iraq. And basically that when people have brought up, for years, people opposed to the school have raised serious human rights concerns about the training that happens at the school, about the actions of the graduates of the school once they return to their home countries. And the Pentagon has treated this as a public relations problem. As opposed to trying to deal with these human rights violations, the Pentagon has poured millions of dollars into creating a slick public relations machine that can spin this school into being one of the leading human rights institutions in the United States. And I think that's a lesson that we need to take to heart when we think about how the U.S. government will respond to allegations of human rights violations in Iraq as well, that as opposed to trying to deal with actual human rights violations, that they tend to pour money into public relations, into creating a glossy campaign that simply glosses over the targeting of civilians.
And in terms of the actual death squads, the proof that we have of it, or the evidence that we have of this, is kind of like putting one and one and one together and making three, as opposed to a signed statement from someone saying that I was a member of a death squad in Iraq.
Yes, I agree with you. And certainly we see a lot of characteristics of that kind of military behavior happening. So many people being jailed, people seemingly targeted killings, just like the journalist that you just mentioned. The absolute terror of the civilian population in Iraq, those are the stories that we continue to hear coming out today.
But also, don't we hear, again, one of the one plus ones that we add into this equation of whether or not we have death squads in Iraq, is United States has said that they are going to send special forces teams to advise, support, and train Iraqi squads. When they pick the same people that were part of Saddam Hussein's Royal Guard, then isn't that one a part of the 1 + 1 + 1 = 3?
Right, I think so. And that reminds me of the story of Abu Ghraib, which is that here was a prison that symbolized the worst of the Hussein regime of targeted killings and torture and abuse. And what has it been turned into under the U.S. occupation? But a symbol of torture and abuse, and of the worst kinds of U.S. cover-ups. And I think that's similar to what's going on with the kind of stories that we hear leaking out about possible death squad activity.
And in terms of the numbers of civilians that have been targeted are dead, what kind of numbers are we talking about? Can we tell?
I don't think we can tell right now. And that's the scary part, that it's really hard to get a grasp on the numbers. The U.S. military they consistently say, oh, we don't do body counts. There was an organization called Iraq Body Count that was attempting to do a more honest evaluation of how many civilians have been killed in Iraq, how many people in general have been killed in Iraq. But the U.S. government continues to say that they're not counting. And I mean, some estimates are saying it's as high as the hundreds of thousands.
During prior to our last break, you made mention of the fact that El Salvador is now under the control of the United States, that as a result of our what we did there in the 80s, they're now part of the troops that are in Iraq. They now, a Central American country, unlike Venezuela, that will support them in their trade agreements. We've created a country, basically, that we control and that we own. That sounds familiar about kind of like what the goals are here in Iraq.
I would say so. I mean, you know, the U.S. continues to talk about when they might be pulling out, but with one hand and on the other hand, they're building permanent military bases. They certainly don't plan to be letting their influence slide in the region by any means.
But also, there's a strategic component to it, just like there was a strategic component to gaining control of El Salvador. Can you talk to us about how strategic it was and how important it was for the United States to gain control of a country in South America, and then how important it is to be able to gain control of Iraq?
Right. Well, the U.S. has continued to, operated bases throughout Central and South America. They have a number of military bases that they lease out or own land in other countries where they base their own forces out of. You know, the U.S. has up to, I believe, 600 advisors currently on the ground in Colombia. On paper, by law, they're not allowed to engage in combat, but they are there advising forces, the military,
then they're dressed
engaging in combat in Colombia.
They're dressed in uniforms.
One of the worst human rights records in the world.
And they're dressed in uniform, and they have guns, they have bullets, but they're not supposed to engage in combat.
Exactly.
And so
I agree that it's so important for them. They need these governments that are in their back pocket, especially as we continue to see popular movements making really positive changes throughout Central and South America these days. Many governments opposed to these free trade agreements. Governments that are trying to forge some of their own trade agreements in opposition to CAFTA and NAFTA. Other movements that are struggling for health care and for basic human rights, services to water, fighting the privatization of water. For instance, in Bolivia, people just won a huge campaign there to fight against the privatization of water and actually had the right to water guaranteed as a basic human right in their own country.
Due to their protests.
Now,
the other thing, another advantage for the United States in advocating its economic policies or advocating its trade agreements, they can come and say, well, El Salvador supports us, and they tick off these other countries that we are in control of as evidence of the righteousness or the correctness of their trade policies. When, on the other hand, if they didn't control these countries, they would have people like Venezuela who are coming out and saying,
exactly,
telling the truth about it.
Exactly. And, you know, we just saw that with Condoleezza's recent visit to the region. She was in Colombia and in El Salvador.
And could you hold that thought, please, because we have to take a break.
Yes.
We'll come back and talk about Condi in Central America. I'm talking to Christy Pardue, Communications Coordinator at the School of America's Watch, joining us from Oakland, California. This is Mondays at 9. I'm Liz Brown. We're talking about death squads in Iraq, comparisons to death squads in El Salvador. We'll be back with much, much more. Don't forget, you can pick us up as we're archived daily on WhiteRoseSociety.org. Stay with us.
Forgive them, Father, for they know not what.
Families need look no further than the Wyndham Anatole Hotel for great summer vacation savings, offering fantastic hotel discounts and partnering with some of Dallas's best family attractions. Wyndham Anatole has the ultimate family getaway package, as low as $129.95 per night. Families are sure to enjoy the hotel's three pools, huge health club, 7-acre park, and a self-guided audio tour of the hotel's private art collection. Call 214-761-7500 or log on to WyndhamAnatole.com to make your reservations today.
Remember that song you sang in Sunday school? Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Since 1994, Hope for the Nations has reached out in love to children in 20 countries on 4 continents, providing the security to help homeless children grow into confident young people, educating and training them to become effective community leaders, helping them to help others through business development. Discover how Hope for the Nations reaches out in love to the children of the world. Get involved yourself. Visit www.hopeforthenations.com. That's hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations, a nonprofit organization turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders since 1994.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Kabul. Some information has been made public surrounding the downing of an Army helicopter in Afghanistan 2 weeks ago that killed 16 American commandos. A four-man team of Navy SEALs on the ground there had sent an emergency message calling for immediate pickup because they had run into heavy fire from the enemy on a desolate trail in mountainous eastern Afghanistan. The helicopter was dispatched, and when it was attempting to land at the arranged pickup site, it was shot down. One of the four SEALs who survived managed to elude the guerrillas for 5 days. He passed out from exhaustion in the mountains and was discovered by friendly villagers who got him back to American troops. Two of his colleagues' bodies have been found, but the fourth has not yet been located despite claims by the Taliban that he was captured and beheaded. Experts are now speculating that the four-man team may have stumbled too close to the whereabouts of former Taliban leader Mullah Mohammed Omar or even Osama bin Laden. Military commanders acknowledge, although grudgingly, that even with superior firepower and communications, American forces are at a real disadvantage when fighting in the Afghan mountains. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area which we call
the party line. With Steve Franklin, Monday mornings from 10 a.m. to noon.
Come talk to me. Come talk to me.
The University of Missouri St. Louis is holding a jazz combo improv jazz vocals camp at the JCPenney Conference on the UMSL campus at 1 University Boulevard, 8001 Natural Bridge Road, Sunday, July 17th through Friday, July 22nd. Music students aged 13 and up, including adults with at least 1 year of instruction, can learn from and jam with master musicians. Call 314-516-5668 for further information. Something jazzy to do from WGNU.
Tuesday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. United Airlines wants to slash legacy costs by cutting retirees' payments by up to half. A bill is in Congress that would place a six-month freeze on corporations dumping their pension plans on the government. If United gets away with this idea, you can be sure other companies will try it too. How could United be allowed to underfund its pension for years and then have nothing left for the workers? An examination of this issue with Beth Almeida, economist with the International Association of Machinists, Tuesday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Whoa. Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be now. Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows from the north to the south and east. Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things and what they used to be not.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Mondays at 9. I'm talking to Christy Pardue, Communications Coordinator at the School of America's Watch, joining us from Oakland, California. We're talking about death squads in Iraq, the connection between El Salvador and their death squads. And Christy, welcome back.
Thanks so much.
We were talking about Condoleezza Rice in South America and how our policies are working down there.
Right, and I was just mentioning that she, as we were talking about how important it is for the U.S. government to have governments that are more or less in their hip pocket, I was mentioning the countries that Condoleezza visited, which included Colombia and El Salvador, and in her recent Latin America tour that she did on behalf of the State Department.
And how did it go for her?
Well, she received a warm welcome by the administrations of those two countries, which work very closely with the U.S. government, both in supporting trade policies and in supporting military policies in their own countries. Colombia is receiving billions of dollars in aid from the United States every year, 80% of it aimed at the military. The U.S. Congress is about to re-up Plan Colombia for this year, although many people who work on human rights issues are fighting against that.
Now, we just have a few more minutes left here, Christy. In looking at Iraq and trying to project the cost of and the impact of these death squads in Iraq, how has El Salvador recovered, or have they recovered from what happened to them with the death squads some 20 years ago?
Well, that has been a very slow process, and I believe that people in that country are still in that process. There was a United Nations Truth Commission, which was very helpful in outing many of the stories of the specific targeting of civilians in that country that happened in the early 1990s, and incidentally was a way that many of the roles of SOA graduates who were trained with United States taxpayer money here in the U.S.,
School of Americans.
Were specifically named as human rights violators and war crimes practitioners in El Salvador. In many ways the country is still grieving, and it is still working to work through what it meant to have so many civilians completely wiped out. And there are millions of Salvadorans living in the United States today, and as a result of U.S. trade policy, as a result of people being forced out of the country and forced into refugee status, and there were many internally displaced refugees during that country's civil war. So the country is still working through many ramifications of a war that specifically targeted their civilian population. And I think that we'll see the Iraqi people having to work through for decades many of the ramifications of this, not only the current U.S. war, but 12 years of U.S. imposed sanctions and the first Iraq war as well.
And also how the ramifications or the having to live in a world where they have less control in their country than they did before we got there.
Exactly. And again, we see, for instance, in El Salvador, the current administration, a party founded by the leader of the death squads, working hand-in-hand with the Bush administration against the will of its own people, sending soldiers to serve in Iraq.
And if people wanted to find out more about this Salvador option in Iraq, and if people wanted to find out more about the El Salvador death squads, where would you direct them?
Well, I would suggest that people visit the School of the Americas Watch website as a first step. That's www.soaw.org. And if you don't have internet access, you could feel free to call us at 202-234-3440.
Give that number again.
We're based in Washington, D.C.
Give that number again, please.
202-234-3440. I think one of the most important ways that people can stand up against the injustice in Iraq is to stand up against the School of the Americas. And we have an annual demonstration at Fort Benning, which is the home of the School of the Americas. This year it will be held from November 18th through the 20th, Friday through Sunday, in Columbus, Georgia. Last year more than 16,000 people gathered, by far the largest and most diverse gathering yet of people opposed to the School of the Americas. And many, many people there carrying signs opposing the war in Iraq. There were several military families groups that were there opposing the war in Iraq and opposing the School of the Americas and making the connection.
And there and make it clear, there is a connection between opposition to this war and opposition to the School of Americas.
Absolutely. And I think it's so important to be holding our government accountable. That's our role in a democracy, is to continue to hold our government accountable. And when we hold our government accountable for crimes and in Central America, we are raising the bar for what we will hold them accountable for Iraq.
And again, your website, please.
www.soaw.org.
And I want to thank you very much, Christy Pardue, Communications Coordinator at School of America's Watch, joining us from Oakland, California. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Liz.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, the wake-up call. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow for more on what our government is doing to create these death squads. I would direct you to my website, LizBrown.com. I've written a column there, Lightning Strikes Twice, for more information on that. So check out my website, the section Through Brown Eyes at LizBrown.com. That's LizBrown.com. Don't forget, we are archived daily at thewhiterosesociety.org. We are broadcast daily on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net. You can always email me at revolution@LizBrown.com. Thank you so much for listening this morning. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Stay strong.
I will never tell you the progress that you made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. President Bush warns Americans to prepare for a long war on terror, pointing to the bomb attacks in London as a portrait of the enemy.
These kind of people who blow up subways and buses are not people you can negotiate with or reason with.